Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is day 3. Our program is supposed to be 1:30 to 3 o'clock. So we'll continue with our sharing from the Heart Sutta book. Okay. Sister Man Yuan and Ying Bi still doing their duty. Oh, come in. I saw Man Yuan already. Okay, we get Man Yuan to continue. We are at page 84. Heart Sutta class, lesson 15. This one also very good. Mind is a foreigner of all things. Please listen to this topic, the sharing. It will help you a lot. Or maybe this lesson 15 I will read. After that, only Man Yuan take over. Okay. This one come about because the Buddha always say this under Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. He used the word mano. Mano here means the mundane mind. So when the Buddha said, mind is a foreigner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arise, all things arise. So here the mano means mundane mind, the thinking mind. Okay? So, anybody tall enough? Oh, Man Yuan, huh? you draw for me the 4 circle formation up there. No, just draw 4 round color. No need. The top, but it's like one tall fellow. Then you write the source. Or original nature, then the true mind. The second circle is the true mind. No, you draw the circle smaller, but write the word up there. Then why draw a circle? Draw another circle. Then why leave that source there? Second one smaller. True mind. Draw a circle down there. Bigger lah, so small. bigger a bit lah. Okay. Then after that, mundane mind. Followed by the phenomenal world of consciousness. Okay. So, based on the 4 circle formation, originally, there is just the source where all things arise, or they call it the original nature. Benlightenment, or sometimes people call it by the oneness nature. And Buddhists like to call it Buddha nature. Never mind. Phenomenal world. PWC, enough. Phenomenal world. Not mine. PWC, PWC, they know what it is on PWC, Phenomenal World of Consciousness, thank you. So what happened is, the first thing to come out is our true mind. So this one, sometimes they call it the Buddha nature. Buddha nature, or original nature, or also oneness nature. Then the first thing to arise from there is the true mind, our pure awareness nature. Pure awareness nature. Then from here the creation starts. This is where the mundane mind is. The Buddha called this Dhamma No. That's why the Buddha say Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. When this arrive, all things arrive. From here, creation start. So this is the phenomenal world of consciousness where the existential world is. Or what we call existence, the universe. So here is the beginning of creation. Well, this one is the primordial, or what we call the unborn, undying. This one is the nature. It arises first. Then from there, it creates the condition arising world. So this condition arising world, condition arising world, is the beginning of creation. I think I better too small, not enough space. Never mind. I just put the word creation. So this one is the beginning. Beginning. Of creation. That's why mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. Means the phenomenal world of consciousness. The existential world, they arise already. And because of this, at that time, I need to explain the whole thing. So this explanation is very important. You listen carefully, it can help you understand, then develop the wisdom. According to Lord Buddha, mind is the forerunner of all things, and mind make ade. Hence, through mental consciousness, we perceive the phenomenal world of consciousness, all of physical, mental, and nature's phenomena within life and existence. Then, like earlier on, I have already defined for you what is a phenomena. Anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomena. So a phenomena doesn't mean that something moving, understand not? Whatever you perceive is a phenomena. So the perception that brings the external form in is a phenomenon. If it's a physical thing, it's physical phenomenon. Physical means what? Like your physical body. All the movement, activity, you perceive it, that is the physical phenomenon. Then after physical phenomenon is mental phenomenon. All your mental aggregate, your mental thinking, activity. The awareness is the one that is aware of it. Yeah. And when you can be aware of it, these are mental phenomena. That's why in nature, you can be aware of your kaya, physical phenomena, mental phenomena. Then last one is nature's phenomena. You know what is nature's phenomena, isn't it? Whatever you can perceive within nature is a phenomena. So what are nature's phenomena? Like all the moving car, yeah? The plants, the trees, the weather, the breeze, the wind, the wave. All these are nature's phenomena. So when you can perceive them, in the early days, before I even go into meditation or know about meditation, that time I was only form 1, form 2. I like to sit around quiet place. Then I observe nature. Then I saw this tree, the leaf, like there is a formation or no. Like everything is flowing or no, moving. It's very funny. At that age, Actually, it was my awareness inside can see. I can see the flow. I didn't think one. I just, in fact, that is what specific phenomenal awareness is all about. But I didn't know what it was at that time. The only thing inside tell me, this one is important to you. Then I also know it must be for my father. I asked my friend and classmate, they say, what is there to see? Yeah? The tree, the wind. They say, no, that flow, that movement, nature's flow. Then I saw it with awareness, actually. Later on, when I meditate, then only I understood what that thing is. That's why whatever you study or cultivate from the past, it will manifest. And this is how cultivation can be continued. But if you say it's easy, it's not easy. It's continued over aeons and aeons and aeons and aeons. And who will remember? Even your last life, who are you also, you cannot remember. Then even this life, before you breathe the last breath, especially when you grow old, dementia, a lot of things you do, this life also, you cannot remember already. After you die, you think you stand a chance to remember? Your brain also gone, the memory. Only those activity that you cling onto and hold onto in your memory, like your phobia, the very intense thing that happened in life that you give a lot of meaning to it or emphasis, that one maybe can carry through. That's why you don't worry, the rest you cannot carry through. Karma, the law of karma will carry through for you, good or bad. So understanding this is very important. So what happened was, because of that, when I developed the meditative understanding, I read the sutta, the Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, 21 day, 2 day, 3, 1, 8, 3, of all the Dhammapada verse, I only interested in this few. I can select, and I know these are the important ones. That's why I only teach that in the initial phase. Especially the advice of the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 183. Sabba papasa akaranam, usalesa upasampadan, sachitta pariyottapadam, etang buddhana sasana. Then when I saw the teaching, I realized they are all connected. It's only one teaching. I can link them all together. So from this phrase, mind is a foreigner of all things, I link everything. I read on. Contemplative wisdom can arise when you silence your mind to reflect. Silencing your mind means what? Kaya vivika, anasana. To develop the calm mind, the tranquil mind, which is creative. To reflect, contemplate, and inquire into the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Be aware and mindful of all physical, mental, and nature's phenomena within your daily life. So I have explained to you what is physical phenomena. Yeah? That's why in the retreat, everything you do, aware. Your kaya is always with you. Moving, turning, stretching, bending, looking forward, whatever. All kaya. Then whatever you perceive outside is mental phenomena. So when you perceive it, the awareness is a specific phenomenal awareness. Or you stay in the nature without a center, this spacious awareness can see all. That's why I call it spacious awareness without a center. But it does not stay somewhere. Understand? Center means the place you rest your mind. Understand? Like you want to perceive the Buddha image or the great being's image, what you do? You need to focus there, shrink your awareness to be there, then you perceive it. So the spacious awareness, you still stay at the awareness nature there. But that one is not a center, that is a nature, aware. That's why that one can see everything. That's why I told you when I transformed in 1989, I look at everything different already. The TV also, the pixel, the movement, no matter how far, my nature is with it. Then just now, Alicia, they all describe one, Adeline described, and some even posing, they all describe. That clarity that arises, like Adeline say, is like the whole thing become clear. Everything, like harmony collected. Because there is nature, understand? Then when the awareness perceive it, it's a lot of harmony on. Well, that nature got no negativity on. It got no word, no concern. It's just sitting as they are. That nature just observe. That's why the silent observation of what is the reality. And when you can be with the moment in life, you can observe and realize the pristine beauty and wonders of all phenomena. Everything, even a day tree, a foul thing. When we perceive, we try to use our memory, views, opinion, conditioning, and knowledge to describe it. Then we develop like a dislike. Oh, this one is smelly, foul, the drain, and all those things. Why must you do that? That is the way of normal putujana or living being that is not with the understanding or the Dhamma understanding. So if you do that, you stir your mind, you react. But when you are with the awareness, there is no movement at all. That nature observe, that nature flow with everything. That's why it's like there is no stress, nothing. Everything is so beautiful. Smooth sailing, you understand? Like nothing to obstruct you, nothing to interfere, nothing to like come in and comment and do all those funny things. It's just that nature in great harmony that is able to be aware of all phenomena. And when you can do that, there is specific phenomenal awareness. Now this is what I coined out on. Last time I cannot find a word to describe it. Then I call it specific phenomena. Then later on, spatial awareness without a center also, I come out with a word. Because there is no word. And there is nobody right about all this. So understanding all this is very important. Eh? So I will move on. Be aware and mindful of all physical, mental and nature's phenomena within your daily life. To see clearly the moment of its arising, sustenance and passing away of all phenomena. To realize the penetrative wisdom born of bhavana maya panya, cultivation, or the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness. So this one, when you can be mindful to that stability, that you can see the spontaneous birth or arising, sustaining and passing away the phenomena means your mindfulness very stable already. Then you will penetrate the three characteristics of nature. Anicchang, Dukkang, Anatta. Straight away you will awaken to you. Because you saw everything is like that. That's why after my pandemic collapse, I saw everything was like that. That's why I was able to tell you, truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. And that is how awareness-based meditation with that nature, you are capable of seeing it and developing the wisdom. Yeah. And then, from there onward, you cannot be deluded by the phenomenal world of consciousness and form. The illusionary world has got no power over you. Then you understand clearly all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach, very clearly what human beings or living beings are, why they are just karmically conditioned, vehicle and tool, not a permanent and changing entity, hence not you. You will see all this. That's why you will awaken to all this. Then you become different. When you understand, you become different. When you don't understand, you got a lot of questions. Like everything not right on, contradictory and all those things. Because you approach it from the mundane mind, mundane thinking, mundane understanding that has duality. That's why I told Amy the Kayamita. Duality exists, but it pertains to the conditional, the existential world. In true emptiness, which is the unconditioned, there is no such thing. All this doesn't exist. So understanding the unconditioned, the conditioned, is what the real enlightened being is capable of. Otherwise, you are still one-sided. Like the second type of sea, the direct sea. So that one, they still have duality. They can still argue with people. But at least with that, they can develop the wisdom and merge with the third level of sea. And then they won't argue anymore. Okay, I read on. Hopefully you can catch it. With the silent mind, see, I always emphasize on that word, silent mind means what? Your true mind, your pure awareness nature. So with the silent mind in pure awareness, one can be aware of all the vibration and phenomena within one's body and mind. One will be able to perceive deeper into one's mind consciousness. All phenomena can be perceived via the silent mind or the pure awareness nature. And it can also witness how they come and how they go, how they arise and pass away, their birth and death, etc. Hence, realizing their impermanent and empty or non-self characteristics or nature, you will see them everywhere, from your bodily vibration to your heartbeat, your pulse, your feeling, your thought activity, your perception, your consciousness, physical, mental, and nature's phenomena. That universal characteristic is everywhere. Yeah. You only have to silence your mind to see them all as they are, without words, without concept, idea, or labeling. What you perceive via your mundane mind or thinking mind is not the real condition. Because they arise via thought, which is respond to memory. And the content of consciousness is egoic, because thought is limited. The reality or pure perception, which is before the knowing, is very different. That's why mundane seeing and mundane consciousness is not the true mind, it's direct seeing. The pure perception, to see things as they are very different. That's why you must develop the stability or awareness within to understand this word. Otherwise, it becomes a knowledge and you find it very difficult to understand. That's why train your mind. Develop heedfulness leading to what they call stability or awareness within. So that you can stay with your true mind. Human being has the tendency to react to sense experience because of their ignorance or self-delusion. So to solve human beings' problem of suffering, one needs the Dhamma. Life without Dhamma is not easy to cope. True or not? By now you should have the understanding that without Dhamma, very charm one, you understand? You really become foolish, deluded, and stupid. Then you and Tap Jin, my daughter, say, gonna pull along like the cow, the nose. So avijja is a string, pull. And you deludedly grasp, cling, hold, thinking that is really something enticing, luring. Like people who get excited going to party. They party until they forgot to go back. They become drunk. Then when they wake up, the bill in front of them. So you have to pay for everything. So all these are analogy. Life without Dhamma is not easy to cope. Without the Dhamma, there will be delusion and ignorance. with regards to understanding who you are and what you are. Without self-knowledge, one will grasp and cling to one's five aggregate of form and mind, hence conditioning one's dukkha or suffering. So now this one clear, yeah? Very easy to follow. Yeah? Samsara, or the wheel of life within existence, can also take the form of man and nature must harmonize. And there are five universal law or order that governs nature. These five universal order or law that govern nature, two of them are scientific law, Utu Niyama and Bija Niyama, means physical law and biological order. And the other three are spiritual law, law of karma and law of mind, which is Chitta Niyama. Law of karma is Karma Niyama. And finally, the law of truth, Dhamma Niyama. When you have the right view or right understanding with regards to this five universal order, which are like the secret of life, then you will know how to live life. When you know how to live life, you will know how to experience all of the wonders and beauties of life. Then life will be very meaningful and beautiful. That is what the Heart Sutta meant by true emptiness is wonderful existence. So understanding the three right view with regards to law of karma, the four noble truth, and the law of dependent origination or paticca samuppada is very important. That it can transform you, and it can transform your understanding of the Dhamma to enable you to live the noble life. So the spiritual law of truth is the four noble truth, because the rest are spin-off from that. Then the paticca samuppada is the law of mind, how you function as a human being, and the citta niyama. Then thought is limited and egoic, hence it cannot free you. True mind is only pure awareness without thought. As such, it can see things as they are without the conditioning. One will come to understand clearly that in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. That is before the knowing and before the delusion or sakayadity carries through to condition you into grasping and clinging onto what you see. Means that's how you stir your mind. Your craving or reactive mental intention is due to your habitual tendency, born or wrong thought. Okay? This is very important. Right? When you understand this, you will know how to cultivate. Then you become different. Next part, understanding thought and consciousness. Once you input the content of consciousness into the awareness, means the shrunken space, the awareness, then you input the content, it becomes a thought. So this is how thought comes to be, means that shrink consciousness plus its content. So I read again. Once you input the content of consciousness into our awareness for you to perceive, then consciousness becomes the thought. That's why I put there. Thought is that vijnana plus its content. That's why it becomes nama-rupa. Initially, before the knowing or the arising of thought, there is just this spacious awareness. This is where I describe it. The moment you focus on something, you input the content of consciousness, then that small space, that consciousness becomes restricted or limited and become a thought. Take for example, seeing. Initially, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness and no one to see. But the moment you are preoccupied with what you see and within, and without the wisdom, yoniso manasikara, at the moment of sense experience, then the egoic mind, born of sakayaditi or wrong view, with regards to the self or atta, has already arisen, causing you to grasp and cling onto what you see. Then your habitual tendency of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, will arise to condition your mental hindrance of mind to arise. That's how you get into trouble. Then why did Krishnamurti, J. Krishnamurti, say thought is limited? I already explained. You need to shrink your spacious awareness to the place you want to focus, anasana, or perceive. And within that small space, you input the content and it becomes a thought. So how can thought be spacious and unlimited? That's why it's, spacious and like infinite. That's why within the small space is limited. Why? When you have that thought, you are preoccupied with the content that you introduce it. So whatever within the thought, maybe you can get yourself excited over it or become very important to you. But that is limited to the small content inside there. Outside of that thought, you're never aware. You're never involved at all. Then how can you have that type of wisdom which is of the totality, where you see only that limited space, understand? And you are preoccupied and lost inside that. That's why that becomes your egoic mind. And you think that it's you, you know. Then like earlier on morning we explained, like to you, a lot of meaning, you know. You grasp clean, give meaning, get angry, emotional, blame here, blame there. How can God be so unfair? Why must this happen? And today, Sri Ann sent a video. I don't know you all received or not. Maybe later on, they send to the annual retreat website. That one, Sri Ann say, karma, like Devadatta. But different. It's karma, but not Devadatta. Devadatta, the ground opened out, he went down straight away. This one is a manhole. DBKL manhole. Masjid India there. I think some of you must have received. Still not found, yes. I ask you a question. According to the newspaper, the family, the father, the husband, and the son brought the mother to visit Malaysia for 2 months. No? Tomorrow they are flying off. And today, of all the timing, the mother walked together with them. Exactly at the turn of the mother, at that point, he was standing in the center of the collapsed sinkhole. The whole thing just went down. You ask yourself, what is the probability? Like my daughter came to know, this is not by chance. I said, no. So many things and conditions must fall into play for it to happen, no. If it's not because of karmic conditioning from the past, this thing cannot happen, no. From India, no, how many thousand kilometers away, you know. And the whole family come for holiday, you know. And when they cannot find the mother, I mean, you really pity the son. The son cried, actually, and seek help to look for the mother. Then the husband also was very sad. So the son said this, no, I didn't bring my mother to Malaysia to allow her to end up like that. Understand? No? But who can understand karma? And you tell them karma, they cannot accept. They are already so bitter. Understand? No? So these are the first noble truth reality. Separation, understand? When there is separation, dukkha will arise. And this is what dukkha is. You attach with your mother, your wife, spouse. Then for Malaysian government also, tourism, the image is very bad now. Then DBK also panic now, because their project now. They were repairing something, their manhole. But sinkhole, unless you are an engineer, especially civil engineer, you cannot understand it. Yeah. I witness a lot and I save a lot. Total collapse. Last time the place I worked, university, there was a bridge at the apartment there, adjacent to the bridge, the whole of that 30 feet by 20 feet or 20 over feet, the whole sinkhole collapsed inside there. Yeah. And luckily no car, because it was middle of the night, then before dawn. Then when that thing happened, the whole university panicked. They say die already. Well, that was the only ring road to link University Malaya to all the colleges and faculty. And I was on leave. They had to wait for me to come back from my leave, which is 2 days later. Then I have a look. Wow, they call emergency meeting. My vice chancellor, deputy vice chancellor, my boss, all there. Then I told them, because the news outside is at least 3 to 6 months to repair. Because they say, preach, you know, you think so easy. Then I look at it, I told the vice chancellor, deputy, I said, if you trust me, I will call an urgent contract. I can repair it in 1 week. They were shocked. Nobody believed me. But I did it in less than 1 week. 6 days, I finished everything. And everything back to normal. That time they say, wow, this engineer, different one. Well, I understood what happened. So if you understand what happened, because for the sinkhole to happen, there are scientific mechanism or engineering principle behind. So the abutment there, down there, they didn't seal it properly, you know. There are a lot of this fine sand or earth, they have already been washed out over a long period, you know, and nobody knew. And that time, luckily, it was raining. So what happened was, the loss of fine down there, slowly, slowly, already drained out. It actually haven't reached the stage where the pavement will collapse up. Because the pavement is quite thick. The olden day one, they do, quite thick. Can still support traffic. So what happened was, the water actually inundated that sinkhole on the side. Then after the rain, everything retreat. You know, water have to slowly come out with that. But because it's trapped, the airspace between the pavement and the water become a vacuum. No? Because this water that seep out of the thing take a while. We have a lot of water. I think it was about 12 feet deep. So as it seep out, the vacuum developed. Then that vacuum caused the pavement to collapse. And when it collapsed, the whole thing become a cavity. Very big, 12 feet deep. 30 feet, 20 feet, 12 feet deep. That's why everybody panicked. So what I did is I checked. Then I called a tender. I asked them to seal all the whatever opening in the apartment there. Then pour concrete. Before concrete, I don't want to use so much. I put in big boulders and rock. Then I put in some reinforcement. Then I seal it up. And then after that, I know no more problem really. Now, I resigned from the university, I think, 30 years already. I think. 30 years, I think. Easily, 30 over years. I left the university in 1989, 35 years, still standing, very good, what I repair, so no more problem. So when you understand, you solve it very fast, no more problem. And they thought it's going to cost them a few hundred thousand. You know how much I did here, huh? You get, make a guess. Less than that, 7,500. I repair the whole thing. Everybody look at me. They know I am not an ordinary engineer. Yeah, I went there, I solved a lot of problems for them. I mean, everywhere I go, I benefit the organization. So this is what can arise when you have the understanding. you don't have the understanding, like this incident, DBKL, I think they still don't know why it happened. To me, if it's a concrete manhole, the cover must be concrete one. Understand? No? It cannot be a sinkhole one. Correct, but it's a manhole, no? Concrete manhole, no? It's, don't know, 5 or 6 meters deep, no? How can you don't have a cover? The ordinary manhole also got a grating or what, and so on. Cannot be one. Something is wrong. I think they must have put only temporary timber or not. They forgot to put the concrete. Then they pave over it, you know. All the paver, you look at the video. Oh. If it's concrete supported by the four wall, how can it collapse? Understand? There's a DPKL, they're not review. I saw the video. Concrete, where can fail like that one? But never mind. Let them investigate. Okay, I better go on, otherwise I cannot finish. So now you understand why thought is limited, isn't it? So all those things, done. As form is a product of thought, hence thought can see form. But form cannot see thought, because thought has got higher intelligence than form. This one you understand, right? You don't understand this sentence? Beng Fei, understand, right? Oh, good. You can understand, means good. Form is a product of thought. You know why it's a product of thought? The second aspect of the five aggregate. That one got intelligence. That one is clever. Technical knowledge. Like this table. Is it a product of thought? The raw material, the carpenter, has the brain and the thought and the skill, and he do, understand? The table itself doesn't know it is called. Yeah. And the plan and everything, like I told you, initially was energy. Then E equals MC squared, Einstein realized, can release a lot of energy. And these are all trapped energy, understand? After the Big Bang. The cosmic does everything, then they come together and form the planet. That's why our center planet Earth, the molten core, hasn't cooled down, understand? It's still moving inside there. That's why sometimes release pressure, earthquake, there are fault lines, cracked, all those things. And these are nature's phenomena. So when you understand all this, then you know. Form is a product of thought. Why? Thought got higher intelligence. That's why our thought can see form. Understand not? Can understand? Not? Then now I ask you. Awareness can see thought. Can thought see awareness? Cannot, is it? What does it mean? Awareness got higher wisdom than thought, isn't it? It's a product of thought. Understand not? From this true mind, the pure awareness, PA, I better put a bracket here, PA. PM stroke PA. So this pure awareness can see the manifestation of mundane mind. And so on. Well, it was created from here. That's why this one got higher wisdom or intelligence than thought. That's why thought is limited. That's why thought cannot see awareness, understand? But awareness can be aware of thought. So now, knowing this, you know why the existential world is like that. So actually, you have a nature inside which is so much higher than thought, no? But you don't know. You like to come here and get yourself entangled, then bully. And you still think this is life, understand? This is paradise, understand? When you're young, you got money, maybe it's paradise. But sooner or later, like the Buddha say, you confront the eight reality, always sickness and death, separation, then you become miserable, understand? Well, you don't understand this is not you. You deludedly grasp and cling. Okay? Okay, now Man Yuan, you can continue.
One point 3. Important inquiries for developing the meditative wisdom. 1. Are the feelings, perceptions, sankhara and consciousness that arise in you really what you are? 2. If feelings and perception etc. are you, then when they arise and pass away, how come you did not die? So who are you and what are you? 3. If the 5 aggregates of form and mind are not you, then why did they arise in you? Part 2, Heart Sutra, Lesson 15. 2.1. Definition of terms. Profound prajna. Wonderful wisdom of those who cultivate the Bodhisattva way to become Sama Sambuddha. Superficial prajna. Limited to the understanding of the 4 truths and the 12 links of condition causation as taught at the Theravada level. Form Dhamma, perceptible Dhamma at the form level, first of the 5 aggregate of form and mind. Mind Dhamma, non-perceptible Dhamma, the remaining 4 aggregates of mind, namely feeling, perception, activities of mind and consciousness. Need awareness or mindfulness to see the mind Dhamma. If one cannot see form Dhamma, then it will be very difficult for them to see mind Dhamma, which are much subtler and much less perceptible. Cultivators of superficial prajna can end the birth and death of their delimited segment, body and mind, but they are unable to transcend the birth and death of fluctuations and the thought. They can be enlightened because they don't have ignorance, so at the moment of death, there is no more rebirth consciousness, but their mundane mind is still there when they are still in the midst of living life. Previous lives could be animals, petas, demons, devas, etc. Then, this life say you are a human being. So which one of these is you? None of them, isn't it? Part 3, meditation.
So I explain a bit. So now you understand, if there is karma, every time you come is one segment. So over the eons and eons of birth and death, definitely the 31 plane, I think you have been through most of them, especially the 4 woeful rhyme. In fact, the Buddha also went down before, where he also Bodhisattva. Then the human rhyme, which is very rare, but also possible. But some of you who have the good fortune, you keep your minimum 5 precepts or what, you born as deva rhyme. Then some do meditation, jhana, concentration, or you become a Brahma. That's why Brahma got 16 rhyme, anasana. First jhana, 4 rhyme, second jhana, 4 rhyme, third jhana, 4 rhyme, then fourth jhana, another 4 rhyme. So all this is what they call existence, rhyme of existence. Then if you go beyond the form jhana, you do the arupa jhana or formless rhyme jhana, they call it the rhyme of infinite space, the rhyme of infinite consciousness, the rhyme of nothingness, then the rhyme of neither perception or non-perception. Your mind becomes so subtle. No form. Like very, very tranquil, very still. You're at the arupa level, it's very fine. They live very long. They live for eons or no, some thousands of eons or no. I think the highest one is, don't know how many thousand eons. So all this is what existence is. Maybe most of them don't do the formless rhyme one. So formless rhyme existence, not that many. That's why they live very long. And to a lot of cultivators of the formless rhyme, like Alara and Udaka, the teacher of Sakyamuni Buddha before he became enlightened, they believe that the formless jhana that they have achieved, 7 jhana and the 8 jhana, means the last two of the formless prime jhana, to them, they believe this is the highest. This is what they term as enlightenment, or in whatever term they may want it. Yeah, the existence is so long. To them, that is it. That's why when they die, they already make aspiration to be there. And that's the reason why when Sakyamuni became enlightened, this two must die before he become enlightened. Otherwise, he will enlighten them. Then their vow is too powerful. They make that type of vow. So it seems when Sakyamuni Buddha checked, one of them just passed away, I think the night before. Then the other one also passed away, don't know, 1 week before. So, after that, the Buddha contemplate, reflect, wow, these two, if they around, immediately, yet dim chao chok, you understand? Yet dim chao chok. In Mandarin is what? 一点就悟啊, means he just had to say a few words, they all enlightened already. But this is your pure wish or aspiration, or you think that is the higher, you want to go there. That's why nature fulfills you. Understand? Then he looked around, then he remembered the 5 ascetic. The 5 ascetic left him because they saw him eating. So they thought he not serious. That's why he left. They left. But luckily he walked all the way. I think took him quite long. I think 30 days or what. I forgot already. To meet out with them. But this time when they met him, they also become different. You know, they saw the radiance in him, the aura. And he speak with such confidence. That's why they listen to him. Then one sutta, Dhammacakkappavattana sutta, Kondanya becomes Sotapan. Follow with Anatta Lakkhana sutta, the sutta of non-self or empty nature existence, all become Arahant. See? It can be as simple as that. And during that time, the 5 ascetic sitting down there and listen to him, you think they meditate? They didn't meditate yet, but they listen attentively. Yeah, they have faith in him. Understand? No? And Dhamma is like that. Not difficult to understand. But you must have the causes and conditions and prepare yourself to be ready to receive truth. If you don't have an open mind, this type of truth cannot go in. Understand? No? That's why they only have the faith when they saw the Buddha with the radiant aura and all those things. So sometimes, like Wen Su, you know who is Wen Su or not? Manjusri Bodhisattva. He liked to manifest as a beggar. Kuan Yin also liked to manifest as old lady with patch clothing and all those things. But if you can recognize them, you will know who they are. Where they are signed. But normal human cannot. They will ignore them as beggar and all things. So you make aspiration to meet out a great being, bodhisattva or what, but you never make aspiration to recognize them. You remember during the Buddha's time, there was a merchant. After Sakyamuni Buddha, after being told by Sahampati that there are others with little dust that can understand you, then he decided to look for the 5 ascetic. On the way, he met the first merchant. That merchant looked at him, wow, aura, everything fantastic. No? So excited and interested. No? He must have made aspiration to meet out with the Sammasambuddha. No? Then what happened is, he went and asked the Buddha, no? I saw your aura. Oh, hey. May I know who is your teacher? They are more interested in his teacher. No? Thinking that if he met his teacher, he can become like Sakyamuni. No? You understand? No? The Buddha in front, he don't want to meet. No? He want to meet Alara and Udaka. No? But the Buddha at that time cannot lie. No? He said, I got no teacher. Wow, the karmic obstruction hit. No. The moment he say got no teacher, the wrong thought come in. No. Such an arrogant guy cannot be the real one. And he walked away, you know. Make aspiration to meet all his Sammasambuddha and he just walked away like that because of one wrong thought. Just because the Buddha at that time answered, I got no teacher. But his enlightenment, no teacher. He realized it himself. And he never lied. Ujian now. Lost. So, in life, a lot of things you cannot understand. Right? Like just now, the Sunday school teacher, in the meditation, I told you the noise up there. They're supposed to be up there. Right? No reason for them to come down to the kitchen area. Right? Then I saw one group of them. You know, their nature very funny, you know, very beautiful. And the kids were very sincere. And their feature, you can know. The two Sunday school teacher, lady teacher, also same one. Immediately, my nature rejoiced. You know. Then I make the pure vision. This nature vow to take them all across when the time comes. They're multi-fatal. This nature cannot choose. You see the condition, it manifests. So, a lot of things in life about the Dhamma, before you have the understanding, please have an open mind, be humble, cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Then you don't have any wrong thought, wrong view. Don't perceive the situation with negativity and get into trouble. Accept the reality. Understand? Then do not arise any negative thought. Whatever that is beyond you, have an open mind. Then nothing will go wrong. Otherwise, the nature's law, they operate on their own. Like Sakyamuni Buddha, you think he's not compassionate enough to help the merchant. But as you all know, there is a Mahayana saying that there are three types of people that the Buddha cannot help. You know who are they? The first one, Wu Yan Ren, no affinity one. 不可度. Then the one that hold on to their view rigidly one also cannot. Then when there is no condition, the coming obstruction also cannot. So all this is what you should understand. That's why when you avoid all this, then there is what they call condition for you to meet up with. Like the Sunday school children. Actually, they also don't know that they have struck such a, what they call, fatal. Jackpot, yeah, the correct word is jackpot. And the Sunday school teacher also don't know. But yin yan is like that one now. Yin yan he he, when the time comes, once a year only we come here for our annual retreat. And out of that 8 days, only one Sunday, you know. You understand, huh? And that Sunday is today. And they happen to be here. For so many years, I haven't seen the Sunday school children come down. But how come this batch come down? And you look at their feature. If you all have been observant, you can see one. They are not like ordinary kids. One, no. And the two Sunday school teachers like to teach them. No. I saw the joy. Very patient. No. So, this is what Dhamma is. So when you have that nature to understand all this, then you embrace everything and you just rejoice because there are causes and conditions for it to manifest. So now you can understand. Yeah? Okay, you continue. Right? Yeah.
Part 3, Meditation 3.1, Post-Retreat Sharing. 2nd to 8 August 2012 Meditation Retreat at Chempaka Buddhist Lodge conducted by Ajahn Achalo. Conditions are very conducive and the retreat was very well received by all. It had also benefited so many of them in so many ways. This was made possible because of the continuity of mindfulness, bhavana and great wholesomeness expressed by all throughout the retreat. And it had also resulted in such good conditions for many of the participants to experience rather good meditative states and development of their five spiritual faculties. The conditions during the retreat are very conducive for good bhavana and wholesomeness training to set the pace for our past cultivation to connect back to us, thus helping to speed up our cultivation. Every day we chant, take refuge, renew our precepts, pay reverential salutation, maintaining quietness, do sitting and walking meditation and mindfulness bhavana, followed by listening to the Dhamma, straightening of our views, share merits, transfer and dedication of merits, offering and receiving of dana, radiating metta, Dhamma discussion and meditation reporting, followed by Q&A, calm Dhamma sharing, etc. All these are very, very wholesome and meritorious in nature, and together with the non-humans, our collective group consciousness had created a very conducive environment, which was charged with a lot of very good meditative and wholesomeness energies to benefit so many of us, including all those who had one way or other contributed to the success of this wonderful retreat. This type of retreat is more intense and useful, hence the five spiritual faculties and the mind can develop very much faster. It will encourage and motivate many of the participants who have benefited from it to diligently determine to continue their post-retreat cultivation. Do not be complacent, otherwise one will lose this good state of trained mind within a very short span of post-retreat heedless living again. The ability to maintain and continue this good momentum of post-retreat cultivation by integrating it into our daily life is very important. The momentum of continuous post-retreat devotional bhavana and mindfulness training while having a very good and disciplined daily religious routine and daily awareness mindfulness training are equally important. A good daily religious routine can be in the form of at least twice a day of strict devotional and bhavana training, i.e. once in the morning and once at night before one sleeps, followed by paying respect to the Buddha every time before you leave your house and every time when you return to your home. Maintain awareness of all your bodily actions and movements within the present moment to cultivate your daily mindfulness until it is very stable. This training of mind in Kaya Nupassana is to slow down your heedless habitual thinking mind and not your actions and movements. Every movement of awareness and or sati will help you to break the momentum of your heedless habitual thinking, thus enabling you to stabilize your daily mindfulness training.
This one I have to explain a bit. You see, what I have spoken here is maintain awareness of all your bodily activity and movement, means Kaya Nupassana, within the present moment to cultivate your daily mindfulness until it is very stable. So this training of the mind in Kaya Nupassana is to slow down your habitual thinking. So slowing down the habitual thinking is not easy. But not the action and movement. Action and movement can be normal because you have to live in the condition of the real world. Real world, everything cannot become very slow. If everything becomes very slow, I tell you, a lot of things will go wrong. Like you eat that time, they say eat mindfully. Eating, 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 chewing, chewing, chewing. Swallowing, swallowing, swallowing. You work for a company or somebody and you go and do this, you think you got time. Your lunch break is only at the most 1 hour or 1.5 hour. You have to drive there, you have to order, sometimes you have to wait. Then you eat like that, people look at you and you become very odd. Then not only that, everything got intentional. Intention to eat, intention to stand, intention to walk, intention to do things. Find out for yourself, don't be gullible. You think everything also got intention. When you wake up that time, you got intention to wake up or not? Huh? You got intention to wake up? Don't have that. Then how you go to the toilet? Your bladder call. You think you got intention to do all these things? By the time you finish all the noting and the intention, the pee also come out already. Understand? So please find out for yourself. When you aware, you will understand. You no need to note the intention. When the Buddha talked about the evil roots of greed, hatred, that is to see the evil root in your intention behind you do things. Understand? Not every action, every movement. The Buddha never say note the intention. No. The Buddha say everything you do aware. Understand? So don't be gullible. So when people tell you something, find out for yourself. Of course, have an open mind is very good. But don't be gullible. Understand? When you find out already, you realize this one doesn't match. You just let things be. I also started by exposing myself to the so-called vipassana everything. But I cannot do one. I go in. I didn't even really try. I look at it, then I realize this is not what I understand and want to do. So I just naturally relax. Then I fall into anapanasati by itself. Means from past life. Then the anapanasati just come. Nobody even teach me what is anapanasati. But the breathing just happened. Like I share with you all, I heard the talk from the late Chief Reverend K. Sri Damanara, first day at the university. Then he pointed towards the brain here. He said, look inside. I don't know how to meditate. First time I went back, I said, to me it's like half an hour, but I have been sitting there 4 hours. And I went into the formless drive. Then how you explain all this? Then when I see that, I know how to go into anapanasati. Nobody told me that. Talk also never mentioned anapanasati. Then how did all this happen? So all this is like meant to be. So whatever that is familiar to you from your past will surface. Then you check. If this is the correct way and can help you develop the understanding, then make use of it. If not, please, have an open mind to listen attentively, then understand, then give it a try. You got nothing to lose. If it doesn't work, maybe you wasted some time, but it does not harm you. That's why the Buddha told the Kalamas. The Kalamas are a group of people during the Buddha's time. So many religious teachers came and passed. Then one day, they heard Sakyamuni Buddha, fully enlightened, is here. So they intend sincerely to ask Sakyamuni. He said, how do we know which is the correct teaching? Sakyamuni, very good. He said, first thing first, don't believe anything that is spoken, even by me, or any great religious teacher, or anybody tell you is from the scripture or what. Whatever they tell you to do, ask yourself 2 questions. If I do, I follow, does it harm me? Does it harm others? If it does not harm you, does not harm others, give it a try. No karmic implication, does not bring about any karmic negativity. So, no harm. And if it really works, well and good. Blessing. So, this is how you check. So this understanding has been passed down. So later on, when I developed the understanding, I apply it to the thought. So a lot of people believe their thought, like Sui say. This should not have happened. The thought tell you what? And to you, your thought is your friend, isn't it? How can your thought lie to you? It has been the instrument for you all this while, since birth until now. So you listen to the thought, but it's a wrong thought. What happened? You suffer. So when you question your thought means what? Like the Buddha said, if I follow this thought, develop the anger and say all these wishes are not a reality, does it harm you? Definitely harm you, right? Make you miserable, suffer, right? That's how you check, understand? Apply to the thought. But if it's a wholesome thought, like Sui, he reflected, he contemplated, then he decided not to follow this one, then he applied gratitude. He said, acceptance. I accept what happened. Okay? Then, contemplate in a positive manner to embrace everything. This is better to have happened now, understand? Or it may be worse. Or luckily, left hand, not right hand. So these are the, what they call, skillful means to actually make you feel better, because you haven't really had that wisdom to accept. Well, when you accept means you understand this. What is the reality? Like the Buddha said, whatever arise, there are causes and conditions behind. Finish. Understand? So, the reality already said cannot be otherwise. That's why it's what is the reality. Then he said the fifth daily contemplation, we are all born out of karma, heir to our karma, conditions support the world. We are what we are with our karma. So whatever happened, definitely something to do with karma, understand? Like what happened to the lady from India. Very obvious. So what happened is when you understand acceptance first. Yeah, this is a reality, you cannot change. Condition like that, things will be like that. And when you accept, you don't react, you don't develop anger, don't blame, don't do all the foolish things that thought tell you, understand? And then, all the right thought become your virtue, understand? No negativity. That's why this one doesn't harm you. Practice it, understand? Cultivate it. Use it. Humility, respect, honesty, sincerity, yeah. Yeah. Hi, Mayo, how? Better go, yeah. Just in case you need a jab, Let us redate metta for Yun Chan, fast recovery, Sadhu. Okay, we can continue now.
Heart Sutra Class 1.1 Sense Basis, Contemplative Wisdom and Daily Mindfulness. The six internal sense bases are our five physical sense bases and our one mind base, and the six external sense bases are their respective six sense data, objects like color, shapes and forms for the eye, vibrations, sound, music, noise, etc. for ear, etc. Upon contact of mind, their respective sense door consciousness comes to be. And like the physics laboratory experiment of the light bulb, the switch and the battery, upon contact, the light bulb lights up naturally. So in the same way, our sense door consciousness is also naturally conditioned arising, i.e., upon contact of mind with their respective sense bases and sense objects, their respective consciousness comes to be. Contemplative wisdom refers to the second turning wisdom called Hitamaya Panya, whereas the meditative or Bhavana type developed via cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness refers to the third turning wisdom called Bhavana Maya Panya. Wisdom is always linked to harmony. This is the reason why the wise ones are always in harmony and at peace with all things, no matter what happens. Sensual desire and ill will are the first two hindrances of the mind that will always arise when one reacts to one's sense experiences without wisdom. Reactions or steering of mind also imply disharmony while wanting things our way. Memory is useful for remembering one's house address, name and bank account and signature, etc. But not for grasping, clinging and holding on our unhappy, sad and fearful memories of our psychological hurts and emotional past, etc. These scars of memories must not be clung onto, otherwise they can condition one's sadness, grief, sorrow and lamentation, fear, insecurities, unhappy emotions, etc. Memories should be left in the brain as it is like the ROM and RAM in the computer, i.e. we do not cling onto it, but only access it when we need to make use of it.
Okay, I explain a bit. ROM, if you are not IT, maybe you don't know. Read only memory, understand? Then RAM is random access memory. That's why your brain, you know, is like a computer, similar. A lot of data inside there, understand? That is your accumulated memory. Where the brain store, accumulate. So, like the computer, that memory should not disturb or dilute the computer. Because the computer got no consciousness. That's why he got all the data there. But how come he compute so fast? Because they got RAM. Random access memory. When they need only, they take out. No? Understand? No? And they take out, all these are mechanical memory. No? Because they don't have emotion. No? Do you realize? They don't have psychological thought process. No? That's why they got no problem. But human being too complicated. Got mundane mind. That's where you go wrong. So when you cling on to all those things, this knowledge destroys you, understand? You know too much. And all this knowing is knowledge, not wisdom. And you act with that knowledge. That's why you become egoic. You argue, you fight. And you create a lot of unnecessary duality to confuse yourself and get yourself entangled and afflicted. So this is the difference. Computer don't have consciousness. That's why they work very fast. And they are very, very good. Very straightforward. Yeah. So if we use our brain correctly, it's the same. We only access this mechanical memory when we need it. Like to recall who our loved one is, to recall where we stay, our address, our bank signature, our password, and all those things. All these are mechanical memory, nothing to do with your psychological fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. Because these are psychological memory. Psychological memory cannot be resolved through thinking, cannot be resolved through analysis via the thought. Because you need Dhamma, which is beyond thought, to develop the wisdom to free psychological memory. Otherwise, it's just temporary solution. Then, later on, it comes back. You don't root it out. To root it out, you need wisdom. When you understand, no more problem. When you don't understand, everything is a problem. So now you see. Okay? Yeah, continue.
True or actual meditation only begins when one's daily mindfulness has stabilized. That is when one is always aware and heedful throughout the day to investigate the Buddha Dharma in daily life while cultivating the four foundations of mindfulness to truly understand who we are, what we are, how we function as a human being via self-knowledge, and how we become what we are via understanding how our mind stirs at every moment of sense experience and how we are conditioned into various mind states of suffering due to our own delusion and ignorance. The silent mind in clear, stable awareness or mindfulness will enable us to be aware of the sense door consciousness that arises at every moment of sense experiences, thereby enabling us to witness all of the Buddha's Dharma, like the Four Noble Truths, the Law of Dependent Origination, etc., as taught by the Buddha, within our own form and mind, or phantom-length body. This witnessing via the direct seeing can give rise to a lot of wisdom, leading to the awakening or enlightening in the here and the now. Part 2, Hasutra, Lesson 16, 2.1. Silence your mind and be aware from within or inside to realize the true mind. Then you will understand why only wisdom frees and liberates the mind and nothing else. Then you can understand Master Zhuanghua's commentary that states, with wisdom, you can very naturally reach the other shore of Nirvana. Very easily, very naturally, you get to the other shore without any need expend any effort at all. 2.2 Question. Is this divine innocence of a newborn baby the same as the enlightened state? Brother Teo answered, no. The newborn baby's condition is different. Only the mind state of pure perception is quite similar. The reason being, in the case of the baby, the so-called pure perception comes about via a brain that is still quite innocent and pure, in the sense that it is not conditioned by any memories, views, opinion, conditioning or concepts and words as yet. So the main difference is that mind state is not born of wisdom. Whereas for those of the enlightened one, their perceptions are still pure perception despite their memories, conditioning, etc. due to their wisdom, and there is clarity within and their pure perceptions. That is, they are like a lotus flower. They are still pure and above the lotus pond, even though they originate from the filthy lotus pond below. Part 3, Meditation. 3.1. Five ways to overcome unwholesome thoughts. When one encounters adversities without wisdom, the mind will stir to condition one's unwholesome thoughts and unwholesome emotions. The Buddha teaches five ways to overcome all these unwholesome thoughts and emotions that have arisen. First way, think of the direct opposite wholesome state. For example, if there is anger, then develop metta, and if there is cruelty, then develop compassion, and if there is fear, develop faith. Second way, think of the consequence of holding onto the unwholesome thought or evil root. If you do not abandon it, then the evil root, which is the root of all evil, will condition you into becoming an evil person. For example, anger can condition one into hatred and violence. An angry person can kill, harm, and abuse others. Third way, just relax and let things be. This is the meditative way developed via understanding that the natural state of mind before its stirring is already the meditative state of peace, calmness, and silent inner awareness, and that the very flowering of the unwholesome thought is the very ending of that thought if we don't give it any more fuel to proliferate. Fourth way, trace the origination factors and then retrospectively reverse them via the cultivation of mindfulness of Dhamma, Dhamma Nupassana, i.e. via cultivating of the mindfulness of the six internal and six external sense bases. This is to develop the wisdom to free. Fifth way, if all the above four ways also cannot help you, then you must use your own self-determination as recommended by the Buddha, i.e. with clenched teeth and your tongue up towards the palate, you should determine strongly to abandon the negative unwholesome thought. 3.2 Question. Is it all right to indulge in positive thought during formal sitting meditation? For example, like recalling thought of doing good deeds, etc. Brother Teo answered, not advisable, because it is like trying to create good memories for a good state of happy mind moments, which is a form of thinking and sensual indulgence or craving for these happy mind states, whereas radiating loving kindness or metta is different because it is not thinking. It is from the heart with the pure feeling of true metta. You are silent and you radiate that peaceful metta sincerely from your heart. When you are in the sitting posture during formal meditation training, try not to do that because it will not bring about the Bhavana Maya Panya, the meditative wisdom, born of the third turning of the Four Noble Truths. During the formal sitting meditation, Your main focus is to initially train and tame the heedless thinking mind into a relaxed state of silent inner awareness. Then, after it has stabilized, keep it silent and just be aware within to understand what is going on within our own form and mind, so as to develop the third turning direct seeing wisdom as taught by the Buddha. Understand that the first and second turning's wisdom are less penetrative than the third turning wisdom, which is born of the direct seeing. Hence, the second turning wisdom via reflection, contemplation and inquiry into the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha should only be done during normal daily mindfulness training and silent, relaxed, contemplative sessions and moments.
Okay. So the alarm has gone past, yes. I think it's 3 o'clock. Eh? So now it's meditation, 1 hour. I will set the alarm. We will off the light. 3 to 4, we will have our awareness-based meditation. Yeah? So as usual, try to develop the stability of inner awareness. Then just relax, maintain awareness, and let the mind settle down. Don't do anything. Then you will become quiet, peaceful, and still very easily. If you want to do walking, can take a what they call quiet walk, peaceful quiet walk. Then you will settle down. Then after that, sit or lie down. You can do your walking over that side also. Eh? That side, the area is bigger. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Yeah? Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay. Then, is there anybody who wants to report or share their meditation? Or ask me any question? Anybody? Don't have. Okay, then we continue the sharing. Yeah. Oh, Alicia.
Hello, Brother Tio.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. 我可以讲华语吗？
可以，用华语哈。
首先我要感恩这次的 retreat， 因为要很多 condition 才能够来到这里。过来就是当我们的 bus it approach， 那个观音的时候，我就很多的法喜。哇，沙丘。然后我的身体就一直开始 vibrating， then until 我们 start puja 的时候，我就。 As usual， 把自己的裤。对对对。啊，换那个麦，因为那个不够大声。然后过了就是，然后过了就是我一直身体很多的那种 vibration 是来，你看它是很 subtle， 但是它好像很 heightened 这样讲。啊，对。就是很好像很什么。 然后他一直 stay 在我的 heart area 这边，然后过了之后我就去 reflect， 然后我应该怎样的 relax 下来，然后进去我的 gateway 嘛，然后我就躺在那边的时候，我就一直 relax， 然后他就进到很深，然后等到我出来的时候，就是我 regain 我的从。 就是我 observe 到就是从那个 nature 怎么样出来，然后从那个当我一 first thing conscious 的时候，就是它根本好像还没有回来这样，就是一个只是一个 pure conscious
对，你还没有 become fully conscious， you haven't come out of it yet，
是，就是它好像连回去，不然就所讲的那个就是。
你 first thing 你一出来，你其实好像、嗯、就是一个 consciousness，
yeah， 那个 awareness
对、
啊，
就是什么都没有、
啊，
就是连那个 memory 也没有，
没有没有，全部没有，
就是没有 memory 空的，然后要过了很久，我好像才回到来这个满地、
啊。你一回来的时候啊，你慢慢出来的时候啊，你看到那个 sense data 全部会进来的，
啊，对
，it's like slow motion 哦。Well, your nature see、everything like slow down one,、but it's actually not slow down one, it's normal. Then you can see、how your senses function.、The Paticca-samuppada, it show it to you. Very good.
而且他看到那个 memory 怎么样出来。
Yeah, how you retrieve.
Yes,
How you input the content, everything, 你看得到的。
所以我就想，因为昨天 Brad 的 sharing 给我的 understanding 就加强了。然后就是这个所我所要分享给大家。感恩大家，阿弥陀佛。
阿弥陀佛。This one is very good because he said he had gratitude.Towards all those who like make this retreat possible, including the organizer, participant, and everybody who has made this retreat possible. Because when our bus was approaching Sampo Temple, on the turn where I show you all the Kuan Yin, she started to detect a lot of very good nature's energy.Then she has a lot of joy, a lot of Farsi singer. Then the heart there, because she already located the gateway, already know how to go in and all things, the vibration start. Then she find it like very strong, very difficult to like normal relax into it. Initially it's like that, because initially,Even I went through those phases before. Sometimes the nature's energy, the great being that want to help you, their vibration and energy are very strong, too strong. But don't worry. The key is the four support. Relax. That's why she know. She learned how to relax. Then she was full of gratitude because she decided finally to lie down.And do the meditation. We are relaxing. Then she went in deep into that nature. Means the whole Monday mind ceased until the nature went in. Then after that, when it wants to come out, it's like she can understand the four circle formation that I explained. He said the first thing to come out is.That pure awareness nature. But he was still deep inside there. So this one, those who went through the thing, they were known. Because after you come out, from here, you come out, you are like not completely outside yet. You are not like a conscious being yet. It's like you are actually the senses all there already.But you are so deep inside. Then as you come out, normally what happens is, for this to actually arise, you will need the sense data to actually come into contact with your sense basis. Then how the awareness become aware of it, then how you slowly become conscious back into a form and mind,Then how this form and mind retrieve through the memory, through what they call views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, and trigger off the consciousness and its content. She will see it on. But because she has the wisdom, so this content of consciousness in the brain that we have has no power over her in the term of understanding.So because of that, those negative tendencies cannot arise. Then you become like, that awareness allow you to understand how the Paticca-samuppada, the dwelling, how it operate, how it function. That's why I can see them and I can explain to you that the actual Paticca-samuppada is moment to moment, multi-dimension. So because of that, later on, she will have a lot of understanding and clarity of how from here come out to here. Then the other possibility is, later on, it go into here, very likely the cessation will keep on happening. The cessation of form and mind, where the pure awareness consciousness also no more. That's why she can say that when she come out to here, the brain got no memory, nothing. Because the consciousness not there yet. Yeah. So before the consciousness come out, what happened is at from that nature when it come out, it will split that consciousness into three areas of consciousness. One is at your heart, one is at your tan tian, and one is at your memory, the brain here. So these three areas of consciousness, when it come out, you like automated into a conscious human being. But because you just come out, the awareness is still very intense, then you start to see how it animates you into a human being. I remember the brain here, like what she described, the brain like got nothing on. Because this whole brain, like a dynamo, I used to use the word dynamo. When the dynamo move, it got a type of very quiet sounds, like running. Eh? You know it's running. Then there is no heedless thinking, nothing, it just run. So what happens is, when the consciousness come back, this one, like the dynamo start again. Then I saw how this memory operate. How it go into the, like the dynamo functioning again. Then from there, I also saw how the sense data coming in. And very funny, you know, the sense data as your awareness saw, is like slow down, you know. Then before it hit my sense basis and contact, I know already, I'm going back to become the normal human being already. Then I saw all the link. We are no avijja. Okay? So no avijja, no paccaya sankhara. But that sense data coming upon contact, consciousness arrive, that pure consciousness. Then from there, if I want to perceive things and know things, how I retrieve it from memory and go in. But all the wrong thought all gone already. The memory got none of all those negative tendency. That's why I saw the whole thing. Then, pure feeling, no grieving. Upon contact, feeling arise. Feeling is pure feeling, cannot move. Because the input, the content, got no negativity. I just perceive. Everything that I need to know, I can know. But no negativity. No fear, nothing. Just the way it is. Until I slowly come out and become a human being again. That is what awareness-based meditation is. We should all rejoice. Eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That is very good. Eh? Anybody else? Otherwise, we continue. Eh?
Seventeen Heart Sutra Class 1.1 Direct Seeing. Direct seeing refers to the silent mind in pure awareness to see things as they are without any thought to arrive the third turning wisdom, Pavana Maya Panya. If you have wisdom, the five aggregates of form and mind will not be a problem because they will be non-grasping aggregates. Reversing the light of awareness to shine within to cultivate the daily mindfulness with clear comprehension or satisampajana is very important. 2.1 The three types of wisdom lights. Whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, The evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are there.
So this is the one. Eh? You have the book, mark it down. This is the pointer. Whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are there. Whereas wisdom leads to peace, harmony, love, happiness, and joy. This is the Dhamma to contemplate constantly. And it is a very good check for all cultivators. So if you have this understanding, this will prompt you. Because when you have that awareness developed, you become sensitive. You are aware that you are unhappy. And most people are aware. Yeah. But because they don't have this understanding, they're aware, they don't know that the evil roots are there. They know, bosong, understand? Then they go and think the wrong thought again, get entangled again. Yeah. Get entangled someone their mind. React and stir someone. More emotional. That's how all this build up. Until you become very, very unhappy, very miserable. Then the hatred becomes stronger. Or the jealousy becomes stronger. Or the fear, the worry, the anxiety becomes stronger. Fear will arise when you have financial problem, when you have police case after you, when you have a traumatic disease, understand? Anger, jealousy, hatred normally is relationship, understand? Or somebody has done something very bad towards you. So all these are the one that condition the deluded being who don't have the Dhamma understanding to stir their mind to react and create more and more suffering, mental suffering. So this is how you should trace. Whenever you are unhappy, not peaceful, don't let it continue, understand? Like Sui said, it all begins with one wrong thought. And most people always talk like that. This should not have happened. How can God be so unfair? Why me? Why this guy do all this? I trusted him. There are a lot of those, I won't mention who, they came and consult me. They got relationship problem. Last time when they are courting, wow, very loving one, honey, then like very courteous. But later on, married, got children, then two children. Then the children also 15 to 16 years old already. Yeah. Then somehow I think the husband also got money already. They entangled with a third party. Yeah. Then after that, one day come back, tell her want to divorce. So. Because don't have understanding, don't have nobody who talk also very crude, I think. So that thing erupted, no. From love, it becomes hatred, no. And the hatred becomes so intense until she went into depression, no. Then somebody advised her to come and see me. Then I have to explain to her. I said, if you want to understand, I can help you. But you have to come out from it yourself. I said, are you a Buddhist? He said, once a year Buddhist, maybe. Vesak day, go to temple. Otherwise, never go to temple. I said, okay, good enough. At least in line, I talk about karma, maybe you can accept it. Then he said, okay. Then I said, if you understand the law of karma, is you reap what you sow. And the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, add to your karma, continue by your karma, and you are what you are because. So very lightly, I said, I use the word very lightly. In the past, I said, you must have done this to somebody, like your husband, now doing it to you. And that lady suffered the hatred, anger, what they call traumatic experiences, the mental suffering and all the various negative emotions that afflict her, you don't know. But to you is, why cannot? I have the means, right? Then this is my decision, right? So you can justify it. Then finally, when I say that, you know what he told me or not? He said, God like that one, man. I said, no need to believe one, I said. I said, likely it's like that. Where is our nature's law? Then I say, if you want to understand, I can teach you how to come out of it. Because you have to break this karmic thing. Otherwise, it continues. You know? Now you continue to then that guy becomes the victim. You know? And you also can become that guy who create another problem for another lady. You know? I say, you want this to continue? Huh? Then she reflects, you know, okay, do one. Okay, then you listen. First thing, ask for forgiveness. You know what was her reaction? Last time, honey here, honey there. The word that come out from her mouth, what? Very loud. You know? You expect me to ask for forgiveness from that B-A-S? D-A-R-D. So violent, no? No way! So how? I said, that is to break the coming obstruction so that this one won't continue. Then I teach her, I said, second, you have to accept what happened. That is the reality. Not only you. Everybody has to go through. But if for people who don't have this negativity, their husband won't divorce them. Understand? Why you are the few? Huh? Actually, not few, a lot. Get entangled. Then a lot of those couple all happy-go-lucky, no problem. It's because of karmic. So I say, it's up to you, your life. Then finally, I explain to her, I'll say, out of love for yourself, your children, you must have the strength to pull this through. True or not? I say, you look at you. You already in depression. Because of you, your children must have worried about you. Oh, then she said yes. They also cry. They also cannot sleep. Yeah. All this arise from what? Love become anger, hatred. Understand? No? That's why we put here resentment. Hatred is also a type of very intense resentment due to jealousy, due to relationship. So when this negative thought arise, the whole family unit destroyed. You understand? She affected, the parent affected, the in-law affected, the children affected, the brother, sister, sibling all affected. All worried about her. And she is a working career girl, quite capable. But because of this, she held on to this problem. Fear of what? Fear of what? Losing the husband. Not so much of actually the husband divorced her, no. She fear from the thought projection that how is he going to face the society, no? The friend, no. You know, lady cannot take on his own. Le ang bu ai lu lia. Means your husband dumb you, don't want you. That is the thing they cannot take, no, cannot face, no. But actually, they a lot of hatred. They just want to break up and just walk off. But that thing, that society's norm and what they call the popularly accepted negativity of outlook by society towards people who got this problem, is actually her own thought project. I think society will not look down upon you. Maybe last time my parents' era, their generation, yes. Because that time, the wife, they say, you marry to who, you follow who or no. You cannot like be divorced or what or no. Sometimes divorce, you can see all the, what they call, movie, the series one. Come back to the parents' house. out of they want to preserve their reputation and the harmony because of the marriage relationship, then I help you, you help me. Then the family's face, they forced the daughter to go back on, despite being bullied and abused by the other side. It's very common. But now, society is different now. Why you worry? I said, you can resolve this amicably. Don't get angry. Accept. Tell yourself, maybe my husband is like, he's the way he got money already, ma. Qin zok guai, ma. You understand? So, you are not that young anymore. Maybe secretary younger, or the number three there, the third party younger, or there must be something that attracts. Then he wants this. So even if you hope for him to come back, you think he will come back or not? He come back also, the feeling, relationship all gone already. You know? So why not you accept this reality and resolve it amicably and move? There's a one real case scenario. My daughter will know. Because the daughter also same age as my daughter. Yeah. Same school. Huh? Then he got two children. Two also girl. Yeah. Then the younger sister, I think, also like my son's age. So, same. One day the husband came back, but the husband is, I think, more smart. He tell the wife, I think you deserve a dinner. I said, I take you for dinner. So he been sincere, naive, so dressed nicely, go dinner. Quite a nice dinner. Then after that, the husband said, I got something to discuss with you. That time, the moment the word come out, I think I want to divorce you. She shouted, screamed in the restaurant, and ran away. I don't want to listen. Then you know where she go. He came and looked for us. Yeah, we are cultivating together. Then that time we got a second class teacher, another teacher. Then he came. Then we got some Dharma friend. Then we advised her, "Ayo, don't worry lah, small matter lah." Wow, she cannot cry like anything. He said, "How can?" He said, "They study together, went to UK together. Then she is a nurse. Then the husband like do business successful. The kid." Two kids, so beautiful. Then this thing happened, panic, fear, don't know what to do. So we give her the solution. We said, don't worry, accept this reality, understand? Resolve it amicably. So now you will know he don't like you, he like the secretary, understand? Not? So accept. Then what happened is, resolve it amicably by telling him tomorrow, not today. After everything settled down, then tomorrow, when you are more sober, more confident, then you tell the husband, okay, come, we talk. Table to table talk. I know you don't love me anymore, because you got another one. Okay? Don't need to add in younger and all those things, don't need. Yeah. What I want is resolve this amicably. So she came out with a solution also. We have to ask her what you want. He said, you can tell your husband you're no longer working since the day you married. The nurse also, so long already, didn't really work as a nurse. So what you want is the house, joint name, transfer to her. We have nothing, not working at all. Then every month, pay me how much? The two children, you take care. Their education, everything. Yeah. Then the second thing is, there are three conditions. Second condition is, every week, at least 2 days, come back and have dinner with my daughter. I know you don't like me to join, never mind. But come back and have dinner with my daughter. Your husband say, okay, no problem. Then after that, there is a third condition. I forgot the third condition. So what happened was, after that, the husband agreed to all the three conditions. Then she was very happy. So she, of course, came out with a proposal, the husband accept, so she stayed on. The house belonged to her, the children still with her, then the husband come back 2 days a week to have lunch. Or the third condition is the education, everything he take care. Then you know what happened? The husband went and tell the secretary, full of joy. Of course, the secretary also happy. But the secretary keep on pestering him. When are you going to divorce? When are you going to divorce? You know what he told the secretary? My wife already give in until like that. You someone want to force me to divorce? So the two start to quarrel. Because the wife needs security. The new wife needs, not married yet, the new girlfriend needs security. So what happened was, after 6 to 7 months, the thing backfired. The secretary fed up with you. Because they were running the business, then the business was actually okay. The secretary decided to abscond with a big chunk of cash and go her way. Then the husband, cash flow problem, they get into big trouble. Then finally, no choice. After 9 months, came back and told the wife, I'm sorry, he said, I apologize, I want to come back to you. So the story becomes like that. Then she, after 9 months, full of joy, come to me. Said, thank you so much. My husband doing like a Kong, forgive, ask for forgiveness and ask me to take him in again. I say, good luck, that one. Strike lottery. That's why no need to react. Understand? Resolve it amicably. And in real life, so we know the concept. And now they are still happily after each other together. And the daughter also grew up. And that one, 20 or 30 years ago, you were already 44. That time they are still secondary school. So this is a real life example how to resolve it. So when I told her that, she no longer so emotional and angry. Then I said, the good thing is, if you don't love yourself, if you allow this to happen, you suffer, you're miserable, your husband also suffer, also miserable. Your children also suffer, your in-law also suffer. Is that what you want? I said, your life, you decide, I only advise. Then there was another case, many actually I resolved. I said, that one is not so lucky, longer stress, be abused by the husband and all those things. A lot of things happen until he cannot take it anymore. Then I said, easy, just accept this reality and talk to him. With a clear message. Ever since we have the misunderstanding, ever since you have that Xiao San problem and all those things, and you want to divorce me, I have no peace, you have no peace. I suffer, you suffer, our children suffer. We are playing a game of suffering, and said, one tong ku that you see. You understand the mandarin, right? I said, you tell him, no point. Why not we sit down and resolve it amicably? Finally, the husband agreed. Resolve means no more misunderstanding, understand? Then I say, even after divorce, the children, you don't worry who take custody. This custodian thing, no matter who take, you are still the mother, maternity mother, although divorced. He is still the father. Anything you can still call him, understand? Then after that, the relationship like friend. They are amicably resolved already. No hatred, no anger, no misunderstanding. The husband go his way. I say, you also free. You go your way. You do what you like. Then there was another one. after that thing resolved, didn't get divorced. Later on, she saw her elder sister-in-law. Because they were married to three brothers. The elder, at first when she got problem that time, I think the first one still okay, don't have this. Then later on, when she recovered already, she resolved amicably. The elder brother want to divorce the elder sister-in-law. Then he saw she become so panicky, full of hatred. Then she told me, after that, every Kayanamita gathering, she will attend. She came and told me, bring the daughter along. That daughter is the one that she have attachment to. But finally resolved amicably, and she have everything. So she was like, it's brother to luck to you. What kind of year? I was recalling, this was what I was at the time, you see. Full of fear, full of panic, hatred, and all those things. But when she resolved all this amicably that time, she was full of joy. Then she started to understand why Dhamma really works. Then you know what she do or not? After that, she joined us to spiritual trip in China. You know what she did or not? In China, I got some, they want massage on, so they go. Then after they come back, I realized one missing. That girl missing. Then I asked her, what happened? He said, she know how to come back. She want to enjoy more the massage. She behaved like a man. He said, here China, the ulut very good. Then next morning, he came back, but what time came back, I don't know. I say, how? Wow, but you're good. Very, very good. That's why I very timid, I cannot go on. Scared the husband quietly. Now, I say, hey, yo, already like that, chit lao, pian lao, already children are so big. Hiya, what is life? Enjoy. See, when people have the Dhamma of suffering, they can become very different. And these are examples that you can come to understand. So when you have the Dhamma, it really free you, liberate you. Accept and like what Sui say, give you the answer. If you don't accept, you create more wrong thought, more negativity, and this is the one that triggers suffering. Because you wanting your way. You are not resolving a problem. Understand? That's why playing the game of suffering, one tong hu de, you see, you must reflect and contemplate. In fact, the whole world, 90% is playing the game of suffering. The first noble true reality. Everybody almost suffer. So when you understand already, you tell yourself, my life, I have to really be strong. My sister-in-law also same. One of them, my younger sister-in-law, she was given away when young. Then she married, good life, beyond married to a rich person, my brother-in-law, owner of a rice mill or something. Then have good life, have four children. Then what happened was, during that good years, the business was good. Yeah, he was the elder son. He took over the business, the rice mill business. Then what happened was, she was scammed by a 13 through government contract. First round, the contract go through, good money. Second round, big case, big contract, absconded, causing cash flow. Then the whole thing went down. Then the brother, sister all blame him for being careless to make that type of mistake. Then he cannot take it. He went into depression. Then after that, what happened was he got a stroke. Then he passed away. That time, the children all still small, but not that small also. Then my sister-in-law panicked my sister panicked and had that type of fear until my brother, elder brother, went to the hospital. to see and make sure she's okay together with my elder brother's wife. They talked to the doctor, you know. And you know what the doctor told my brother? You know? He said, I'm not worried about the patient. Well, he already has stroke. That is what he is. I'm more worried about the wife, he said. He's like mad already. You know? Until my youngest brother, he know I can have a call me, you know? And I took a flight back. I went to the hospital and talked to her. By then, when I went back, the husband passed already. I helped her and I talked to her. I said, you grieve over all this also, no, you. The reality, he is gone. You have to resolve this amicably and move. I said, out of love for your four children, I said, and yourself, you must be strong. I said, you don't worry about money, finance, or anything. We can help you. You have to be strong. Then, start anew. Well, this is a new phase of life. Happened already. Then luckily, he got faith in me, she got faith in me and she trusted me. And I told her, we will plan your life. That's how we help her. Help her, she's a housewife, don't know anything. So we help her how to start a small business. Pasar Malam and all those things. Then I said, you want to do a small business? We will rent a shop lot for you. We will support you. Then finally, she pulled through and became very happy and very successful indeed. Because I said, you don't worry. Your husband also got life insurance, all those things. So work on all those things. Then finally, when she recovered and has sufficient money, the first thing you must do is buy a house. Because he stayed in the in-law house. Though. The husband, brother, sister all blame the husband. They sure don't like you to be there, and so, especially with the four children all those things. But initially, they cannot do anything. Then, of course, the mother-in-law also don't like my sister and the children at that time. You cannot blame them, because everybody blamed the husband. So what happened was, this sister is very kind. So she continued to take care of the mother-in-law and all those things. Then suddenly, the mother-in-law also got stroke. Nobody wanted to look after her. My sister looked after her. So it was because of that that he starts to understand that my sister was better than her own children. That's why she insists they can stay for as long as they like in that house. You know, for sure. But by then, we already helped him to buy a corner lot with the land in other stuff. So I said, this will give you the stability, understand not? So that you do not worry that you will be chased out, that fear no more. That's why we resolve it. Until the son graduated. Well, the son graduated, she was very happy. So, came down to my PJ house, introduced the son to me, opened an account for investment, buy him a car, and all that. So that was how it ended. And all this can be resolved. Because when you tell them the situation, the reality is the husband gone. And you have to be strong. Well, out of love for yourself, your children, you have to be strong, pull through. And it can be done. Help them if you have the means. So this is how we resolve things. Then every year, New Year, whoever got problem, your big family, we will help them. And among my brothers, sister, I don't know why. I only got two sisters married, we got only two brother-in-law. But these two brother-in-law, one got cancer, passed away. The other one got scammed, stroke, then passed away. But all my brothers and sisters, no problem. Understand? That is the reality of karma. So you have to understand, each and every one is different. Despite what happened, you can never know. When karma hit, like my brother-in-law, happy already, successful already, financially no problem, but scam, then get into this situation. Why? In the past, very likely, he must have also scammed people, understand or not? Then this thing, fruition, he become the victim. So you, now you understand why the Buddha said avoid all evil. You understand? Don't try to take advantage of people. Don't try to break the precept and all those things. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu. We continue. Eh? Yeah.
Part 2, Heart Sutra, Lesson 17. 2.1. The three types of wisdom lights. Whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are there. Whereas wisdom leads to peace, harmony, love, happiness, and joy. This is the Dharma to contemplate constantly, and it is a very good check for all cultivators. Buddha reprimanded Ananda on the sayings, "See no evil and hear no evil, then you are peaceful." Because according to the Buddha, evil or not evil is all in the mind. The world is the world, and it is not a problem if you have wisdom to confront its realities, for nobody can make you unhappy or miserable unless you allow yourself to be so via your own delusion. There are three types of wisdom lights. First wisdom light, the light of prajna of language, is equivalent to the first turning wisdom called Sutamaya Panya. Second wisdom light, the light of prajna of contemplation illumination, is equivalent to the second turning wisdom called Chittamaya Panya. Third wisdom light, the light of the prajna of the characteristics of actuality, is equivalent to the direct seeing wisdom of the three of the third turning called Bhavana Maya Panya. Return all external forms or manifestation created by mind to mental consciousness, then mental consciousness to the pure awareness or true mind to realize the Buddha nature or oneness nature, which is also the source of all things. Part 3.
I will explain the four circle formation. So in the early days, because I was sharing the Surangama Sutta, so I just draw this four in its most elementary formation, because nobody can understand at that time. So I just put there oneness nature, Buddha nature, then the true mind, pure awareness, silent mind. I didn't even explain that this is your meditative mind and all those things. And all the other teaching at that time, I cannot teach because nobody know what sati is. And I can't even teach the four support and all those things. So I just draw this four circle. Then from that nature, the mundane mind come out. I also cannot explain because at that time nobody understands. They don't have mindfulness. So mundane mind, mundane Dhamma, of course I try to share and teach the essential Dhamma. Then I put here the mundane mind through external manifestation of mind created the via mental consciousness, the external phenomenal world of consciousness. But here I put external form because the consciousness that arise, phenomenal world of consciousness, has the form inside and as well. That's why sometimes I will say phenomenal world of consciousness and form will not have power over you. So that is the reason why. Then under the mundane mind, I use the Surangama Sutta's code. The knower, because the egoic mind think this is you, the form and mind, the knower become the living being, or the five aggregate of form and mind. And this one become the traveler in space and time via karma, the karmic process. That's why this is the one that take birth, the life and death, sea of suffering, samsara, birth and death. So all this can be explained and understood. But at that time, I just draw this and I didn't touch further, because people cannot understand. But I already draw it out. Okay, next one. Manya.
Part 3, Meditation. 3.1. Question 1. In meditation, usually how long will it take for the mind to settle down into stillness? Brother Theo answered, it depends on the individual. If you have cultivated correctly, and consistently, and your wisdom and daily mindfulness are already very established, then the stillness of mind can be realized relatively fast. It can happen within minutes. But if you have not done the training, and the wisdom is not established as yet, then it may not happen, and to settle down into stillness may be quite a difficult and arduous task. 3.2. What actually returns to the source?
This is the best question. What do you think? Huh? What actually returns to the source? You think there is a being to return to the source? No! The Buddha already says, Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. The conditioned and the unconditioned also, there is no such thing as a self, understand? A permanent unchanging entity. It's just a nature, understand? And the mundane mind realizes itself and ceases. That's how it returns to the pure awareness nature. Then because of the wisdom that caused the thing to return, cessation of form and mind happened. That's why the pure awareness also ceases. Then you realize Nibbana, that nature. That is how it happened. Anyway, read my answer.
Brother Teo answered, there is no one to return to the source. It is just the mundane mind that realizes itself and sees. The cessation of form and mind, which is the realization of Nibbana, is without any mind and totally without any thought or even the pure awareness or consciousness. Hence, it cannot be spoken or expressed or understood via words, knowledge, or ideas or concept, which is still within the field of thoughts. The mind ceases, but you are not dead. And
dead. Should be dead. Dead is Lao Pei. Okay.
And consciousness can still come back. If it is still not time for Parinibbana as yet, it is just like the analogy of the candlelight that ceases. 3.3. Mental liberation and the non-Buddhist. Question 3. Buddhist meditation talks about mental liberation and enlightenment via the Buddhist way. Can non-Buddhists also gain liberation of mind via meditation? Brother Teo answered, yes, because like the Buddha said, the Dharma or the truth was already there before him, and he only realized it after the enlightenment. So, truth is not monopolized by Buddhism or any religion for that matter. Whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth. Hence, truth is not your truth or my truth, for these are the individual's opinion of truth. 3.4. Question 4. When meditating, is it normal that the mind may go blank for a while? Brother Teo answered, the mind can go blank for a while or for quite some time depending on the type of meditation one is doing. But it is more important for us to understand what the main purpose of bhavana or meditation is. The main purpose is to realize the wisdom that can enable us to understand clearly the Four Noble Truths so that our mind can be liberated from all the entanglements of life that can condition our mental suffering. So whatever meditative experiences that can bring about this wisdom or understanding is more important than just blanking our mind or developing the very special meditative experiences during meditation. The very special or beautiful meditative experiences that arise during meditation are only conditioned states, and if they do not bring about a transformation in understanding, then they should be left as they are. They should not be clung onto or perceived as equivalent to special achievement in meditation. Certain types of one-pointedness, concentration, and absorption meditation can bring about a state of like no thought or blank mind for a certain period of time. The calmness can be very strong, but the mind is without any awareness within. Such meditation is mainly samatha in nature. One will have to release the absorption and concentration to normal state of awareness to cultivate the sati sampajana, or daily mindfulness with clear comprehension, meditation to develop the insight and wisdom needed for enlightenment.
Okay, I just want to add one more part. You remember in the Zen tradition, Mahayana tradition, you go to a Zen retreat to meditate, they have a monk with a ruler, long one, go round. You know what they do? If they know you do this type of samatha meditation, they will whack you. Why? They say, we have enough Buddha statue here already. You understand? Huh? You blank your mind, no thought. Buddha statue also like that. They say, we don't need another one. See? We are wisdom free. Always remember. You blank your thought, no thought, deep samatha. Of course, that state can be experienced. Very deep stillness, calmness, concentration, energy. But does it bring about wisdom? That is more important. So when you meditate, you must know what is your purpose. The purpose of developing this meditation as taught by the Buddha is to realize the wisdom to free, to liberate, so that you no longer have to suffer anymore in this conditioned world while living life. So this is important, okay? Continue.
18 Heart Sutra Class 1.1. Daily mindfulness is very important to enable one to realize the real Dharma as taught by the Buddha. Without this daily mindfulness via an awareness of all actions and movements, feelings, content of consciousness, and Dharma that arise and pass away from moment to moment, within the present moment, the real wisdom cannot arise. When there is no wisdom, one will be conditioned by one's delusion, whereas wisdom leads to joy, peace, love, compassion, and harmony. How you interpret or perceive a life situation or a phenomenon at every moment of sense experience is very important. When you have wisdom, life itself is your teacher. The enlightened one will perceive all things with wholesomeness only. Develop the wisdom to be at peace with all situations and learn to accept the reality of the moment so that one does not have to react to or worry about life, but instead always act with wisdom, following the Noble Eightfold Path to resolve all of life situations amicably.
So, all my understanding is summarized in this paragraph. Mark it. Then you know how to apply all these examples that I've given you. Understand that? Huh? Do not interpret or perceive a life situation or phenomena in every moment of sense experience. It's very important. Why? Well, when you have the wisdom, life itself is your teacher. Everything you encounter, you can learn from it. The enlightened one will perceive all things with wholesomeness, no negativity, understand now? And I use the word only, you know. Develop the wisdom to be at peace with all situations and learn to accept the reality of the moment, like the Buddha said. Condition like that, things will be like that. Thing is just the way it is. That's the reality. You cannot change. So that one does not have to react. That is what Sui write up there. And it's the negative thought. Once that one come out, you finish it. When you react or worry about life, that is playing the game of suffering. One tong ku de you see. If you love that, continue to play. Like Shakespeare. You know what is Shakespeare's famous quote? If music and food is the spices of life, play on. Understand? You heard of this, isn't it? 12 Night. Shakespeare. Sir William Shakespeare. He also know if music and food is the spices of life, if you believe the conditioned world is the music and the food, play on. Then you get enticed, you get lured in, Then when you confront the First Noble Truth Reality, sorry, you don't have the wisdom or Dhamma understanding to confront it. But when you have Dhamma, you can have food and music. Understand? Or? You can get them to play on if you have the means. But under training cannot. The 8 precepts forbid. Otherwise, you become easily like drawn by your craving, your desire. That's why during under training, you have to keep precept. You know what is aseka? Seka is under training. Aseka is beyond training. When you enlighten, you no need to train. Then the precept is not binding to you. Why? Because you cannot already anasana. So no more meaning. So you must understand, in the teaching it's mentioned, seka and aseka. Seka means still under training. You can be sotapan, sakadagami or anagami, still under training. But once you are arahant beyond training, aseka. Okay? Now, read on. Very good.
1.2. The four right efforts are 1. To abandon the unwholesome actions, speeches and thoughts that had already arisen. 2. To prevent the arising of unwholesome thoughts, speeches and actions that have yet to arise. 3. To develop or cultivate the right thoughts, speeches and actions that are still not in you. 4. To maintain and refine upon any right thoughts, speeches and actions that are already in you.
There was a typo pointed out in previous retreats. Number 4 is supposed to be to refine upon and perfect any right thoughts, speeches and actions that are already in you, not just maintain.
Now, you read correctly, but Sui correct it because I used to tell you, the traditional way is to maintain. Maintain, you won't improve. Understand? It's to refine upon it and perfect it. Understand? So that should be the fourth right effort. That word maintain is not so accurate. Although all the commentary, they use the word maintain. So just for information, move on. Yeah.
Part 2, Heart Sutra, Lesson 18, 2.1. Three types of suffering. There are three types of suffering. Number 1, suffering within suffering. In its most obvious ordinary form, dukkha dukkata, suffering within the physical form, like birth, old age, sickness and death. If the mind, via delusion, clings and attaches to this bodily suffering, then there is double suffering, i.e., not only the body is sick, mind is also affected. Number 2, suffering due to unsatisfactoriness of conditioned state. Sankara dukkata, suffering due to mental attachment, via attachment to the sankara aggregate of mind. Number 3, suffering caused by change, viparinama dukkata. Everything is impermanent or unsatisfactory, and if one cannot accept this reality or this universal characteristic of impermanence, then suffering will arise via wanting good things your way. Note, suffering due to change, as explained on page 43 of the Buddha's Ancient Path by Piyadasi Thera. Viparinama dukkha comes under the category of unsatisfactoriness due to impermanence. All the pleasant and happy feelings that man can experience fade away and disappear. As the Buddha says, even the feelings that a yogi or meditator experiences by attaining the four meditative absorptions, jhana, come under the category of viparinama dukkha, because they are transient, anicca, dukkha, and subject to change, viparinama dhamma. But the dukkha mentioned here is certainly not the pain and suffering that people in general endure. What the Buddha points out is that all things impermanent are unsatisfactory. They suffer change every moment, and this change brings about unsatisfactoriness. for whatever that is impermanent is unsatisfactory. Yada nicham tam dukkha. There is no lasting bliss. Part 3, Meditation. 3.1. Question 1. As always emphasized by Brother Teo, right understanding and right view are very important. If one lacks this, then how can one progress along the path of Dharma? Brother Teo answered, according to the Buddha, the first of the Noble Eightfold Path factor is Samadhi or right view. Without this right view, you can't proceed with the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Because if your views are wrong, then your thoughts will be wrong. As thoughts and mental intentions condition our speeches, actions and the way we live our life, then all the other subsequent path factors of the Noble Eightfold Path will also be wrong. Hence, it is important to have the right view or right understanding as the first path factor within the Noble Eightfold Path. The three right views with regards to all the spiritual laws that govern all of life and existence are very important, and they are the law of karma, karma niyama, the law of mind, citta niyama, like the 12 links or paticca samuppada, the law of all other nature's truth, dharma niyama, like the four noble truths. Nature's truth, anything that can explain the way things are is the truth. The Buddha's advice via Dhammapada verse 183, to avoid all evil, do good and purify the mind comes from the first right view, law of karma. According to the Buddha, each and every one of us is born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma, which is also one of the five daily contemplations that the monks are told to reflect on daily. Hence the importance of taking care of one's karma. How do we take care of karma? We need to train our mind to be ever mindful, heedful of our mental intentions, so that our action, speech and thoughts are always right and appropriate to avoid all the negative or evil karma while keeping our precepts and cultivating their ennoblers. This will enable us to heed the first two advice of the Buddha, and the third advice is to cultivate the 10 steps of the Avijja Sutta, which includes the four foundations of mindfulness to purify one's mind. 3.2. Question 2. When we are on the wrong path while having wrong view, how can we come out of it? Brother Teo answered, this is a very good question. Now you can understand the great wisdom of Lord Buddha in teaching us how to make sure that we won't have wrong view or follow the wrong path while following his advice to sincerely cultivate the below important cultivation and aspiration. Number 1. Taking the three refuges, Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, with very strong faith and sincerity while understanding its importance. There is no other safe refuge except in the Triple Gem, where the Four Noble Truths can be found to realize the enlightenment. Number 2. To make the aspiration by reciting Imina Punya Kamena Mame Bala Samagamo Satam Samagamo Hotu Yawa Nibbana Patiya, to invoke the power of merits to enable one to avoid all the foolish and meet with the wise and the enlightened ones, so that Nibbana can be realized soonest possible time.
Okay, this one maybe have to add in a little bit, because a lot of them last time during our discussion, although they like talk about it like a joke, but there was one Kayamita, no? After he heard what I told you this morning, the Sammasambuddha, the first person he met, the merchant, then after that, he asked who the teacher is. He said, no teacher, then he just walked away. So this Kayamita very smart, no? Wow, brother, till like that, I must make additional aspiration, no? After making the aspiration of pure wish to meet up with the Buddha, I must also add, no? I must also recognize the Buddha, no? You understand, no? You make aspiration to meet, you meet, lah! But cannot recognize, no? So this Imina Punyan Kamina also say, you invoke power of merit to avoid the foolish, meet up with the wise and enlightened one, but you don't want to find out who are the foolish and who are the enlightened one. That thing can come, no, create condition for you, no. The foolish and the heedless one you cannot recognize, you will continue to mix with them, understand now. Then the enlightened one, yeah, that can actually help you and guide you, but you look at him, ayo, how me to be here. Understand? Because they don't know all the vices, understand? They don't know how to take you for fun, gambling. Then you say, ayo, this is no fun. You continue your own way. Understand? So make aspiration to recognize the heedless. So who are the heedless? Who are the heedless? You must know how to recognize. Then I like this Westerner. No? Last time there was somebody who asked the Western disciple, Achacha, I think. I forgot which English monk. Really. They asked him, no, how do we know that person is enlightened? The way he answered is very good. He said, the enlightened one don't have a chop up there to tell you he's enlightened or not. Not the Dato Tan Sri got title or not, got bashed on the car. The enlightened one, very humble, very simple, very difficult to recognize one. So the only way to recognize is what? To cultivate. When you cultivate, then you know they behave like that. But if you don't cultivate, very difficult to recognize one. Yeah. Then how do you recognize the heedless? When you have mindfulness to see your own heedlessness, delusion, then you know who are the heedless. Understand? Those who break the precept, understand? Very easy, right? Those who break the precept, those who simply do things, speak all the harsh speech, wrong speech, never follow Noble Eightfold Path one. They say, Xuan Hua very good. Xuan Hua said, you want to know whether he enlightened, you observe him. Whether he got greed or not, is it? Tai you tan ma. You go high you tan, you make your own conclusion. So whether he got greed or not, he got selfishness or not, he got the negative emotion or not, whether he's self centered or not, then whether there is any ego or not, delusion or not, that is how you see. And to do that, you must have mindfulness, understand? You must have good silent mind to observe. Then you will know. So if you cultivate that and make aditan under the yellow card, that life after life you must have this understanding, then no need to make additional aspiration. That's why the Buddha just say, just imina punyang kamina. Every night we do that. The closing puja, you ought to know. After Devo was satu kali dah, then it mina punyang kami. This is invoking power of marriage for causes and conditions for you to avoid the foolish and the heedless. Meet up with the wise and the enlightened one so that Nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. So all these are the additional understanding. Okay, continue, Maria. Can. Let Ing be.
I would like to share this Imina Punya Kamena. I think I shared before, but
yeah.
For the benefit of the new Karyamita.
The new one, yes.
How many years ago? I can't recall, but...
Yeah, many years back,
Last time, our devotional chanting in our so-called way place in Subang Jaya, we seldom have this paragraph Imina Punya Kamena.
Okay.
We don't have it. We have the another version.
So
after
my good karma to meet up with late brother Kenny Chan.
Yeah, yeah.
I learned some chanting under him. He is from Sekya N.
Yeah, Sekya N, Malacca.
But
yeah.
That is not here. But Sister Song.
Yeah, yeah, yes. I met him before, Kenny.
From his way of teaching the chanting, then he always encouraged us to read this paragraph. Imina punya kami nama me bala samagam petang samagam waktu ya venibana pati pati ya. There's after that, I think 1 or 2 years, then I have the best affinity of my life to meet up with Brother Teo.
So there's
the efficacy of this
paragraph.
Bear in mind.
You chant, there is an efficacy. It creates the causes and conditions, and it will respond where you are being sincere. And when you seek, when you are sincere, I already told you 3 things. You have sincerity, faith, and perseverance. You will find a way. The path will be there. Sincerity is very important. If you really want to seek truth, you must be sincere. Sincere means what? There is no deviation or no. I don't just because there is something very popular and people talk about it. Everybody like rush to it, understand or not? The stock market also same, booming that time, euphoric that time. Everybody rush to it. So, whatever that is popular, you have to find out whether it is the suitable one or not, truth or not. Otherwise, you can become gullible. So, what is happening is, it is very important for you all to develop the understanding that do not be driven by greed. Understand? Greed for, like, very famous title or what. Sometimes the real one are the what they call, they have the understanding, but they are very simple. They have a lot of humility. And sometimes when you approach them without condition, you ask them, they will respond very little. Or sometimes they don't want to respond. Then unless they see affinity, they won't talk to you. So to recognize the enlightened one, you need to really develop that aspiration, like what Ingbi mentioned. So this imina punyang kamena, even though, let's say, you have not developed the understanding to recognize them, but if you are sincere, like I say, sincerity, kantong tiana is what? Chen what? Chen xing. It can actually cause heaven to kantong is what? Move. King Saka, the chair become very hot. Then he will observe, he will ask, who is it? Then there must be somebody enlightened out there. So when you have sincerity, it moves heaven. Then when you have faith, it's a spiritual faculty. Then if you have that attitude or the parami to persevere, what you call persevere, in Hokkien, I know how to say la, pa si bo zhao, means you persevere until you realize, that's how, you won't give up one, perseverance, won't give up one, in Mandarin call what? Bu fang qi, bu fang qi, means you will persevere, correct lah, bu fang qi, you will persevere, understand lah. So this one is very important, okay? So hopefully you understand why we invoke this, understand not? Our closing puja. In fact, all the opening puja, closing puja, and the whole puja is to help you. Because this one is formulated by Sakyamuni Buddha, understand not? So don't look down upon chanting, puja, and all these things. In fact, when you attend Buddhist activity, doing all this puja and whatever, or listening to Dhamma Sri, all the 10 meritorious actions you do. And I can tell you, one day, not to say 8 days or the retreat, one day, you cannot receive such wholesomeness and merit even for how many lifetimes you might have cultivated if you don't have the causes and conditions and parami to attend. But also depend on your karma, how much you receive, understand? But if you really have the parami and can understand, I tell you, the berries or parami that you receive from attending this retreat, even one day, enough for your future. This type of merits and understanding is very different, very penetrative one. Then it actually transforms your good karma. Then very high chance that in future, next sasana, you will be around. Anasana. Because you have this, anasana. Otherwise, sasana not easy to take birth on. You remember? Ren sen nan de, fo fa nan wen. When you have this type of parami, this is very solid or no. You will definitely have a condition to come. Unless through your own karmic obstacle or karmic negativity, then it boomerang back. Then nothing you can do because nature's law. So do not create unnecessary doubt or negativity of thought process. As long as you rejoice, happy, like just now lunch, I was really rejoicing. I met Beng Fi. Then I met Michael. Oh, both of them told me the same thing. Oh, brother, thank you so much. I say, why? He said, very clear, you know, is it? Last time, didn't go in, no. He said, after the example, I said to them, not very clear, the whole teaching. Very easy to understand, no. Can put to practice, no. Yeah, they say, last time they learned bits and pieces of here, there, everywhere. You can ask them to share. Michael and Casey, pass the mic. So as to give faith to other people, so that they understand. Yeah.
Good afternoon, no Kaya Meters. Brother Tito and Mrs. Teo.
Yeah.
I think...
No problem. Let him continue. It's okay. The mic has a little bit of distortion.
I've always, for the past 6 months, been following Brother Teo's video.
Yeah.
Although I didn't join in the Zoom session.
Yeah, yeah.
But I religiously follow him.
Mm.
Just because when I follow him, on the video it's much easier.
Yeah.
When I go on my MRT ride, I can.
Then you can listen.
Anytime I can listen to him.
Yeah.
At the same time, I always play back. Mm. As and when I find certain things that I may miss. Or
You may miss and interest you. You will actually rewind and listen. With this teaching, you have to listen many times unless your past is very strong. You listen one time only, you understand really.
Yes.
Like Hui Ning, like that. Otherwise, you have to listen many times. Even our own Kayamita listen so many times. Those who help me do the transcript, you know, to transcript one or two sentences, you have to listen a few times. You cannot really catch it until later they have the understanding. Like now, Ingby, Alicia, they all, when they help me to do the transcript, they all very clear. That's why at times I ask Ingby to help me to check before forward to me the final one. That is how it is. So correct, you did it correctly.
I find it really a blessing to come across your teaching, Theo. And I find it, you are one of, the only one I've seen in so far in my years of practice, that you're able to relate the Theravada practice and Mahayana practice.
Yes, I have and never, also to Jay Krishnamurti.
I have never In fact, I don't know anything about Mahayana practice until I came across you.
Mm.
I'm starting to realize the Mahayana practice,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully you bring me along the path.
Oh, no problem. Sadhu. Then what you told me at the kitchen, you can repeat.
Yeah. I think today's session, you come across even more clearer. And with the example given by Sister Sui, I think it really hit me.
Yeah.
And one of the things that my take home from you, which I find it very practical, is that you always say, things are what they are.
Ah, yes.
Deluded people do deluded
things. Ah, yes.
Foolish people do foolish things.
Violent people do violent things.
I think that has sort of...
straighten your view, isn't it? Yeah. So that you can accept them for what they are. Yeah.
Even though I don't have the sati.
Yeah.
But I feel when I interact with my friends,
yes,
I always remember who they are.
Ah.
Because they always come up with certain things. I
say,
this guy is like that, so let's not get involved. La.
Yeah.
Let him take his own karma. La.
Yeah.
Because if you try to get involved, then you are entangled in their karma.
Correct.
So that's something I'm very grateful to you.
Sadhu.
The other thing is that you say is a mighty nature rolling by.
Yes.
That is also another...
Very powerful advice or pointer.
Yes.
Because only nature's law operating one. Understand?
I find that also very penetrating.
Yeah, it will help you in your understanding of life and cultivation. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Sadhu, let us rejoice. Yeah. Pass to Michael. Michael also just now approached me and share something. He also had the joy.
Brother.
Push it.
Brother Teo.
Yes. Honorary.
And hello, Kali Mita.
Yeah.
Just now lunchtime, I was just, this morning talk, I was very impressed. With the teaching, I find it very beneficial.
Beneficial.
So I was sharing with the brother still during the lunch, and it helped me to understand the Buddha teaching. Somehow, of all the retreat I attended, this is the most beneficial retreat that I ever attended.
Sadhu.
It helps. I think it will be very helpful.
Yeah, this is applicable to life.
Day-to-day life,
And you can apply it. Like Beng Fei say, although sati not stable yet, but this is wisdom, Manasa. Like Sui, he can penetrate to wisdom one. That's why I asked you the five ascetic when listening to the Buddha, the first sermon and the Anatta Lakkhana, you think they meditate. They also did meditate. They attentively listen. And it awakened them. Understand? Because through understanding, when you understand, you awaken. That when you awaken, you change. Then you understand what truth is. Then later on, you read my instruction again. You can go into that awareness state very easily. Just now, there is a question. How long does it take you to settle down? You remember that question? Yeah. What did I say? You have done it, the awareness base. Meditation correctly and have the understanding within minutes. And I myself did it. Anytime I want to go into that state, I can go into that state. And in fact, most of the time throughout the day, I'm already with the true mind, the true nature. It's only whether I want to go into stillness or not. It's up to me. Yeah. So all those that have the spiritual faculty and the understanding and already detected the awareness nature can stabilize it. They can be in that state anytime. Yeah.
I must thank you. It's so practical and so beneficial, so useful for day-to-day life.
Yes.
How we handle so-called problems.
Correct.
Which we have to learn to accept the way
things are. Yeah. Very good. Sadhu.
Thank you so much.
Rejoice. Let us rejoice. Okay, good. Manjan. Sui.
Just sharing about the word sadhu, because we say it a lot. I'm not sure if everyone understands it the same way I do. So I find that a very amazing word. So the basic understanding is a rejoicing. So I'm very happy to hear that, to see that. Another one, I find it also means thank you, kan en. When I say sadhu, I imply that meaning.
Yeah.
Another one is I'm very, not just I am happy to see all this happening, I'm happy for you. Things grow, see things go well. So it's like one word,
So
much meaning. Don't need to add anything.
Correct.
sadhu.
In fact, under the four Brahma Vihara, the Buddha also have a word for it. Mudita. Rejoicing with the wholesomeness of others or yourself. When you hear good Dhamma, you rejoice. When you hear people benefiting, you rejoice. It's better than developing the opposite of it, which is envy and jealousy. Especially in office. If your colleague get promoted, most people, what happen? If your friend, of course, wow, sadhu, very good. But if it's not your friend, your competitor, you expect to be promoted, you didn't get, he get, does the Dhamma still apply? Because the reality, he was chosen. Whether fair or unfair, not important. Understand? It's better to have a wholesome thought. Rejoice. Yeah. Must be his indirectly like good karma. Understand? Well, he can get it. Understand? That is the reality. How he move, whether he go back door or what, that one, he has his own karma, like being female, understand? No need to know, understand? That's why people are just the way they are. Selfish, deluded, violent, they will do things their way. But if they have sincerity, they have honesty, humility, virtue, they will be the way they are. Their karma will be different. They will reap what they sow. So all this will become very clear. As you cultivate, the Dhamma unfold and make everything very clear. Then you suddenly like straighten your view until your whole life change. Until people can see you, I can advise you. Maybe share with you. A lot of my Kayamita told me already, when they change, surprisingly, their wives know. They come and tell me, you better go and see Brother Teo. Because last time the husband tied up, understand? Everything he decided, never let the wife decide. But after attending my class, he asked the wife, what do you like to eat? Today we follow you. Then after that, because the husband happened to be somebody I know. And the wife, they visited me. Then the wife came and thanked me. Brother Teo, I encourage my husband to attend your class. Maybe I'm a man, can trust. So, there are a lot of such situations. In fact, among our Kayamita also, after one of the Kayamita, their wife, came to know me and attended my Thursday class. Then after that, the wife also managed to get him to attend my Thursday class. Then you know what happened? After about 2 months or so, they took us for lunch, treat. Then the husband told me, Bratio, thank you. I said, why? He said, you have made my life so much better. There were no more misunderstanding like last time. Understand? Otherwise, I tell you, not easy.
On the topic of envy, just now you mentioned the example of promotion. Actually, I had a few interesting discoveries when I was still working. I think 2017, 2018, when I just started attending the retreat. Then I went back to work in Singapore. And in corporate life, there were many chances to go through lucky draws. Small ones, big ones, annual dinners or department or Christmas or something, get lucky draw. Then I noticed after the all the retreat asking to be aware of your emotions, your feelings, I realized I'm actually disappointed. Was I mean I'm greedy? Then I look at the top price, I get one football. why I won? I really, it was very interesting, my self discovery. Then I think back, when I was younger, I could be happy one or whoever got first prize, I was so happy. Why not want to number one all the time? So it was very interesting soul searching journey. I really go and find out and dig out the thing I accumulated inside.
Yes, sadhu. But there is a way when she become more aware through all this sharing, then she actually want to find out why all this. When young, not working that time, no such ambition and all those things, then all this defiling thought doesn't arise. But as you go into society, enter the corporate life, then all this starts to happen. So this is how she learned her way, sadhu. Then for us, cultivator of the way, we go into sati first, stabilize it, then realize the answer or understanding ourselves, then we transform and move. Her case is different. This contemplative or intellectual approach is also very good, but when she developed the stability or sati, she really like a bullet train. She will go very fast. Because she ahead of understanding, following her own way, understand? Then when she has the sati, the direct seeing or no need to wait to contemplate to stabilize it. Straight away awaken. Then after that, like everything become very clear. That's why I say later she can take over. No, when the sati come, you will take over. So all this like meant to be. So you develop all the training, the understanding, then it unfolds by itself. That is the beauty of Dhamma. Okay, go back to Manjun.
3.3. You reap what you sow. Can this karma be experienced in this very life? Brother Dio answered, it depends on which chitana or determining thought moment the karma is being committed. According to Abhidhamma, there are 7 determining thought moments or chitana or mental intention to condition karma. And if it happens during the first determining thought moment, then it is only effective in this life if there is condition for it to arise. Otherwise, it will cease to be. Similarly, for the 7 determining thought moment, it is only effective up till the next life, if there is condition for it to arise. But those occurring between the 2nd to the 6th determining thought moments will be around at all times. So the answer is, it is possible to experience them even in this lifetime, just like how you reap the result of your hard work while studying and later on working in this life. 19 Heart Sutra Class 1.1. Wisdom and life situations. With wisdom, one is always at ease with a lot of harmony in whatever one does. One will also be able to accord and flow with conditions during their waking moments, as in working career environment, as a housewife doing her daily chores, as a normal human being going through life, etc. One will have the wisdom and ability to resolve all of life's issues or situations amicably, without causing any suffering or karmic negativity to anyone, i.e. with no mental negativity to deceive, cheat, lie, or take advantage of others. In life, the way one perceives a life situation is very important. If one can perceive a life situation without any negativity, then one will always be happy and at peace with all life situations. If one does not react or stir one's mind, then one will not suffer. To have the ability to prevent the unwholesome speech, action, and thoughts from arising, one needs to develop sati, mindfulness, heedfulness, apamada, and wisdom, panya, to prevent the arising of the unwholesome mental intentions that will condition one's unwholesome speech and action. Right thoughts, speech, and action are conducive for the holy life. The 3 doors that commit karma are chitana or mental intentions committed via speech, action, and thought processes. To take care of karma, one needs to be ever mindful of one's mental intentions and apply the appropriate right effort and right understanding to avoid all evil, do good, and purify one's mind, contemplating to develop skillful means of communication and action while arising only the right or appropriate speech and action that will not cause any suffering or misery to fellow living beings is very important. For example, while having love and compassion, kindness, pleasantness, and gentleness of speeches, gratitude, sincerity, etc., in everything we do can go a long way. Sometimes, by being sensitive to say, "I'm really sorry, and please do forgive me if I have unknowingly caused you any misunderstanding," can go a long way to make people feel good and happy, as opposed to engaging in unfruitful argument that can lead to further misunderstanding and enmity later on. Use only pleasant, gentle, and appreciative speech, and speak tactfully with wisdom, kindness, love, and compassion to help others and to bring about more harmony and happiness. Those who are in the service industry should learn to speak well on the phone and when receiving people. Those who are attending to emergency phone calls must have the ability to use gentle, pleasant, and good speech to calm people down and assist them to handle the situation calmly and appropriately. Words like "May I help you?" and "How can I be of assistance?" are very useful and appropriate. Understand the importance of applying the four right efforts to purify our action, speech, and thought processes is a very important aspect of the whole cultivation. There are three very important purifications needed for cultivation, and they are purification of morality, purification of mind, and purification of view. These three purifications are part of the seven stages of purification as taught by the Buddha. 1.2. Seven stages of purification, Sata Visuddhi. The seven stages of purification or Sata Visuddhi as taught by the Buddha are as follows. Number 1. Sila Visuddhi. Purification of morality or virtue while keeping one's precepts. 2. Citta Visuddhi. Purification of mind or content of consciousness, especially the three evil roots, via an awareness of how it arises, to condition one into negativity, then how to root them out via wisdom to develop the wholesome state of mind. 3. Ditti Visuddhi. Purification of view, so as to arise the right view with regards to the law of karma, the four noble truths, and the law of dependent origination, and to cultivate the rest of the noble eightfold path factors. Know the difference between right and wrong views, to develop the right understanding according to reality and to see things as they are. Number 4. Purification by overcoming doubt, Kata Vitarana Visuddhi. No more doubt because it has overcome the 10 defilements of insight that binds the cultivators to complacency and misguided belief of realization. Number 5. Purification by knowledge and vision of what is path and non-path, Maga Maga Nana Dasana Visuddhi. Non-path leads to delusion and suffering, whereas path leads to clarity, non-negativity, peace and stillness of mind born of wisdom. Number 6. Purification by knowledge and vision of the way, Patipada Nana Dasana Visuddhi. After understanding the path, one cultivates accordingly to realize the vision of the way. Number 7. Purification by knowledge and vision, Anana Dasana Visuddhi. Realization or enlightenment born of the direct seeing or direct knowledge and vision of the way things are without thought. Since meditation, as taught by the Buddha, is the noble eightfold path, so if one's meditation does not lead one back to the cultivation of the noble eightfold path via heedfulness and sati as taught by the Buddha, then it is not the Buddhist meditation as taught by the Buddha. If after having experienced a fantastic meditation experience, one may think that one is already enlightened, but if one's speech, actions, speech and thought processes are still very crude, with a lot of wrong view and delusion, then one must check what type of enlightenment that is. Part.
Part 2, Heart Sutra, Lesson 19, The Kinds of Suffering. The 31 planes of or realms of existence. 1. The immaterial world, Arupa Loka, consists of 4 realms that are accessible to those who pass away while meditating in the formless jhana. 2. The fine material world, Rupa Loka, consists of 16 realms whose inhabitants, the Brahma, experience extremely refined degrees of mental pleasure. These realms are accessible to those who have attained at least some level of form jhana and who have thereby managed to temporarily suppress hatred and ill will. They are said to possess extremely refined bodies of pure light. The highest of these realms, the pure abbots, are accessible only to those who have attained to the sainthood stage of a non-returner or of the third stage of anagami awakening. The fine material world and the immaterial world together constitute the higher heavenly realms. 3. The sensuous world, Kama Loka, consists of 11 realms which experience both pleasurable and non-pleasurable sensual states of mind. It is dominated by the five senses. 7 of these realms are favorable destinations, and it includes the 6 Deva realms and our own human realm. The lowest of the realms are the 4 bad destinations, which include the woeful realms of the demons, animal, petas, or hungry ghosts, and hell realms. Enlightenment, that is the mind that has clarity and wisdom and is no longer deluded. Genuine wisdom is with complete clarity and understanding. 3rd Noble Truth is the cessation of form and mind, leading to Nibbana. Form and mind ceases to be. Part 3, Meditation. 3.1, Reports on Meditation. 1. I have followed Brother Teo's class for almost 19 weeks by now. I can feel the calmness and peace within more often now. I can sit for 1 hour and feel light-hearted. With more clarity, joy, calmness and peace within most of the time. My mind is a lot quieter and less heedless, i.e. with very much less wandering thoughts. When faced with problems, the mind is not so afflicted like before. 2. My daily mindfulness has improved. Now when I encounter problems, the mind is not so easily stirred. I am now more aware of my mental intentions, especially the negative ones with the 3 evil roots. And with this clarity of awareness, I am able to cultivate the 4 right effort to abandon, to prevent the arising, to promote and to refine upon the various mind stages with greater ease. Three, after cultivating the daily mindfulness, when encountering sloth and torpor, I can just accept the state of sloth and torpor without any intention to do away with it. And this acceptance allows my silent mind in sati to take over and remain in peaceful awareness within. After a while, I can experience a shift in consciousness that makes my mind bright and clear with a lot of joy and virya. Then the sloth and torpor are gone. Brother Teo answered, these are very good meditative results born of correct meditative cultivation and right understanding. Mahasadhu to you, sister. Always remember, whatever you do in the name of meditation, if it can bring about more clarity of mind, with inner peace and awareness, to live life with a lot of happiness, joy and understanding, then it is the right meditation. The meditation as taught by the Buddha will always enable you to develop all the wisdom and virtues or wholesomeness born of the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, to live the noble life of a noble one. To truly live life, the mind must be in silent inner awareness to be with the moment, to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. Most living beings are heedless because they think a lot, and they are most of the time too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life, so much so they totally miss out on life, i.e. they don't really live. To be at peace with every moment of sense door consciousness is genuine wisdom. To have the clarity of mind and right understanding or wisdom to know how to act and live life to the fullest, meaningfully, is most important. 20th Heart Sutta Class. Part 1. Recapitulation. 1.1. The first three stages of purification. The seven stages of purification are important cultivation, especially so the first three purification, which are purification of morality, purification of mind, and purification of views. Part 2. Heart Sutra Lesson 20. 1.2. Definition. With precepts and samadhi complete and bright, the pearl light appears. The pearl light refers to the relics of the enlightened one. The wisdom is within you. How do you meet it? Put down your upside down mind and let go of your false thinking or deluded mind. Earnestly work hard at your meditation. False thinking mind is the mundane, deluded, heedless mind. Part 3 meditation. 3.1. Developing the meditation. To develop the meditation, the body and mind must be in harmony. That is, they must both be in a relaxed state and at ease. At ease means no stress, no tension, no tightness within the physical body, and no fear, no worry, no restlessness, and no anxiety, etc. within the mind. Both body and mind are completely relaxed and at ease. The stress and tension within the physical body and mental arise because of one's heedless living via lack of mindfulness or attentiveness to live life. The heedless living arises because human beings tend to have a lot of problems and worries. They worry about their children, their education and their future. Worry about their own health, their career and work-related problems. Their relationships with their loved ones, their financial problem, their investments, business, wealth and possessions, etc. This is the reason why the Buddha said, to meditate, one must keep one's precepts, to avoid all evil so that one's karma is taken care of via less heedless living. Hence, this is the reason why the Buddha has advocated the cultivation of the following. Sila, morality, precepts. Samadhi, meditation. Panya, wisdom. And dana, generosity, to build up the parami for goodness to arise. Sila, morality or precepts. Bhavana, meditative discipline, which is inclusive of samadhi and panya. 3.2. Question 1. Can one attain enlightenment through only listening and without meditation? Brother Teo answered, yes, and there are many cases of this happening, even during the time of the Buddha, like Venerable Kondanya and Sariputta and many others. Normally, such people are able to awaken only through hearing because of their past cultivation and parami. Most of these people have, in fact, cultivated very sincerely and diligently before in the past. So, that is the reason why in this life they will have the condition to awaken just via hearing the Dhamma. This hearing of the Dhamma actually corresponds to the first turning wisdom called Suttamaya Panya, wisdom born of hearing the Sutta, or discourses of the Buddha. 3.3. How to apply the Dhamma to deal with someone who is difficult. And who is very irritable, throw things in front of you, and rather unfriendly towards you. Apparently, he is such because of the way he has been brought up, so we can't really blame him, and I don't know how to deal with him. Brother Teo answered, is he or she one of your family members or friends? Yes, she is one of my family members. To apply the Dhamma is very simple. Just follow the Noble Eightfold Path. She is just the way she is. So have the right understanding or right view to accept her for what she is. Then you will be at peace. If not, you will react and perceive her with the negativity which you had described via your question. This is the suffering that will arise. This is the suffering that will arise when you are with people whom you don't like, as described by the Buddha under the First Noble Truth. And the cause behind is your craving born of your delusion. So to overcome this delusion and craving, you will have to accept her for what she is. Then learn to arise the right thought, pleasant and gentle right speech, following the Noble Eightfold Path to deal with her. Do not react or reason with her because it will not bring about a solution to her so-called problem or negativity as you have perceived earlier. Have love and goodness of heart to understand her. Radiate metta and make aspiration to help her change for the better. All this will help. With mindfulness, observe her and await the right condition to counsel her and bring her into the Dhamma.
Dhamma fold.
And bring her into the Dhamma fold when conditions are appropriate. Slowly, with patience, loving kindness, and wisdom, she will come to accept you one of these days.
Do you know who is the one that asked this question? Man Yuan. Okay, continue. Anyway.
21st Heart Sutta class. 1.1. Purification of Sila, Citta, and Ditti. Purification of Sila or morality or virtue. Citta or mind or content of consciousness. And Ditti or view, followed by purification by knowledge and vision of overcoming doubt, are all very important cultivation. This is especially so for the first three purification, where one must get it right. The understanding of Dhammapada verse 183 on the advice of all Buddhas is also very important, for it is based on a deep understanding born of right view with regards to the law of karma. Starting, of course, with the first advice, all evils is to be avoided. So our first inquiry must be, what constitutes evils? The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are the roots of all evils. So if your mental intention behind all of your actions, speeches, and thought processes are with these evil roots, then they will condition you to become very evil, hence creating one's negative karma. while you reap what you sow. Take for example, selfishness and anger. Once these evil roots are there, they can condition one to kill and harm, and take advantage of a situation for their personal selfish gains. Sankhara, mental states or content of consciousness. There are 52 of them, and some are wholesome and some are unwholesome. So we need mindfulness and heedfulness to be aware of them, so that we can avoid all evil via this heedful mind. With heedfulness and sati, or mindfulness, we can see clearly how our mind gets conditioned into negativities. That is the mind states with the three evil roots, via our own ignorance and self-delusion. How we get ourselves entangled with the evil mind states of anger, hatred, selfishness, lust, envy and jealousy, fear, worry and anxieties, etc. through our lack of understanding of the noble truths, thereby conditioning us to grasp and cling onto the unreal, which has the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self, come empty nature of all phenomena. Without wisdom, we will not understand how we are conditioned into negativity. Understanding the third noble truth, that suffering need not be if we had developed the wisdom before confronting the first noble truth's reality of life and existence, is very important, and the enlightenment in the here and the now is possible once we have awakened to the three universal characteristics of nature. With wisdom and awareness or sati, one can just be aware and let things be via seeing things as they are, and then there will be no more suffering. One can just accord and flow with conditions without any resistance. Hence, there is no suffering and unhappiness via wanting things our way, which is not nature's way, or the reality which is what is. We cannot argue with what is.
Sati or mindfulness, which is the first enlightenment factor and most important spiritual faculty, is very important, because without sati, there is no heedfulness. And without heedfulness, there is no spiritual life. Without sati, one cannot investigate the Dharma. Second factor of enlightenment, to strengthen one's faith and virya. One must investigate into the following important Dhammapada verses. 1, 2, 21, 22, 23, and 183. And confirm that these truths stand up to investigation, thereby establishing our faith in the law of karma, as explained by the Buddha. To reaffirm our right view with regards to this law of karma. All of sankhara, or mental activities, inclusive of all our feelings and perception, are impermanent, for they arise and pass away constantly and are in a state of continuous flux. Thought activities also come and go, arise and pass away, its birth and death, appearing and disappearing, exhibiting its characteristics of impermanence constantly. With wisdom within, one sees it clearly, whereas the mundane mind without wisdom is very heedless. My teacher used to tell me, finally, there is only pure awareness, which is the true mind. This I came to realize later, when the rather gross, mundane, or thinking mind collapses, leading to the true mind, which is just pure awareness and silence within. It is very fine, and like no more mind. It is the pure nature or awareness just shining forth
when the mundane thinking mind is no more. But there is such a thing as life, even though it is only within the moment. As we have established earlier on, the past is already gone, hence it is not a reality anymore. Similarly, the future has yet to happen, so it is also not a reality. Hence, the only reality in existence is only the present moment, and moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Every thought just arises and passes away very quickly. So, as real as it can be, it is there or existed only within that moment when it arises. After that, it is gone, dead and gone. So, do wake up and do not dream or sleep anymore. The phenomenal world of consciousness is not what you think. As long as you are not deluded to grasping and clinging, then you are okay and you won't be afflicted. So don't hold, don't grasp, and don't cling or attach to anything, even through memory. Then you will be free and peaceful always. Without delusion and ignorance, you are beautiful. When you see things as they are, then you are not deluded by them. The form and mind will be clear to you. Then there will be no more entanglement to cause you any more mental suffering. The reason being, the mind has awakened to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta, hence no longer gullible. With heedfulness well established, the mind is constantly aware of all your mental movements and intention. You will come to know how you are conditioned into negativity via your mind's delusion that conditions you to grasp and cling onto your five aggregates of form and mind as the I, me, and the mind. You will also come to know how your likes and dislikes come to be via your reaction to what you see and perceive at a moment of sense experiences when you lack wisdom or yoniso manasikara, wise attention at a moment of sense experience. You will come to experience all of the four noble truths, the dependent origination or 12 links, and how your mind functions via witnessing the 12 links occurring within your mind. Always be aware within and develop the ability to use the mind, the trained mind in heedfulness to cultivate the penetrative wisdom born of direct seeing to clearly awaken to the three characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta to liberate your mind. You will come to witness how your feelings arise and pass away like a bubble. All your perceptions, activities of mind and mental consciousness also exhibit the same characteristics of impermanence, leading to your ability to realize the anatta and sovereign nature within all phenomena.
Okay, good. Thank you. We should break for those going for dinner. Huh? You all can pay your respect and leave. Then those not going, you can make use of this time to rest or do whatever you want to do. Then we come back at 6:45. Okay?